Good morning and welcome to the June 8th, 2017 meeting of the Code Enforcement Board. The meeting will now come to order. We have a huge agenda, once again. So I'd like everybody that wants to speak is going to get a chance to speak, but just please stick to the topic and we'll all try not to ramble, including us. So I want to try and get us out of here at a reasonable hour. All right. May we have a roll call, please, Madam Secretary?
Ms. Hunkett?
Here.
Ms. Burr? I'm here. Ms. Gerald House? Mr. Neil Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Thomas A. B. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Donald Smart? Mr. Vernon Redwell?
Here.
All right. So may we have just anyone make a motion to excuse Mr. Smart and Mrs. House?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington, second, Mrs. Himes, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? Any additions or corrections? Motion to approve the minutes.
Motion.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Harrington, second, Mr. Jones, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Does anyone need to disclose any ex parte communication? Okay. Do we have any announcements? I will make one announcement. When we get to lien review number 2, we will also hear case 29 so we can get the officers moving out of here.
I have one.
Okay, and go ahead.
Case number CED 517-42,
Florida
Code Petroleum, LLC,
compliance 68. What, could you do it by number on the agenda, because it'll work faster for us. Okay.
Number 9.
Yes. Okay.
You want to read the whole thing already?
No.
Okay.
Number 9. Okay. Anything else? Okay. All right. Would the code officers please come forward and be sworn in?
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
All right, here's our procedure, everyone. We will be calling cases by number and for the most part in order as they are listed on the agenda. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you are not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the mic. The board hears from the code officers first, and then you will be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedures. All right, so let's get right to our lien review, our first lien review. That is case number CED 09-16-48735 Mason Avenue. Respondents present. Good morning, Mr. Jackson.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city of Daytona Beach. We're not sure why the respondent isn't present, but at this time, if you want to see if they should arrive afterwards and consider later, you can, if the board's choice. But at this time, I guess we'll have to pass, and we don't know why they're not here.
Wait, did you expect them to show up?
Typically the communication is with the board secretary, but there's no information that I have that tells me why they're not here.
Wouldn't it be somebody that would have to be placed on the agenda? That requested?
I'm sorry?
Would that request the lien review?
Yes. So this was by their request. So they would have been notified.
Well, all right. We'll pass it. Let's go to 2, and then we'll come back, but I'm not willing to wait much longer than that. Oh, he's here. Okay, good. Okay. Good morning. State your name and address for the record. And
do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, let us hear from the code department first.
Madam Chair, and members of the board, excuse me, this is before you for a lien review. This lien had accrued to the maximum of $20,000. The circumstances the board may recall is that this was a violation of a dumpster enclosure. It had garnered many complaints to the division for the need for the dumpster, because there was no dumpster enclosure, the trash was flowing through the neighborhood, and there were a lot of complaints. The inspector reported that the owner had informed him that the tenant was to take care of it. The tenant never took care of it, and eventually the owner took care of it, but it was about 6 months, I think, because it didn't come into compliance until May of 2017. The fine initiated in November of 2016, so it was quite a time period before it actually complied in more than 6 months. While we are thankful that the owner ultimately resolved it, we are willing to ask for reduction in the lien to the amount of $5,000.
Okay. What would you like to tell us? I didn't see a letter of hardship of why it should be reduced. I didn't see the request letter.
I haven't received any mail from the court enforcement. I was out of country, and the tenant receiving all the letters from them, but he didn't bring to my point. I thought they were going to fix it. So when I came to pull a permit for something else, the city said I have a lien for $20,000, and I start the process right away.
Okay.
I would send it to the inspector for.
Okay.
May have alternatives.
Okay.
Yeah, I met with the property owner on site, walked out to the area, to the site, explained to him what needed to be done, what the issues were with the neighborhood, so he was aware.
Okay.
And I said.
Well, okay, wait a minute. Yeah, you go ahead.
I start the process at the same time. I had to do the survey. The city asked me to get the survey for the property.
Do you live on this property?
No, ma'am. It's a business.
What is the business?
It's a grocery store.
Grocery store. Okay.
Mr. Sutton, when you met with him, was this before?
It was before.
Okay.
And when he called me, he told me that the tenant would not cooperate with him, and he was having a hard time with them doing what they're supposed to do, keeping the trash in a local area. So he was aware prior to the fine institute.
Do you still have the same tenants?
I'm working on eviction with the city. They don't have permission to run the store in their property right now, but they're still doing the store over in the property. City is they're going to.
They don't have a
operate
that store. Well, that's another issue. That's not on the lien review, correct?
I'm working with the city. I already made a complaint in the city.
That's correct, ma'am. It's not a part of on the agenda.
Any comments?
So, how far did you? When did you first notify the owner of Ditto?
I believe the first notification was March of 2016.
And you talked to Joe with it?
No. I was on site and I spoke with the tenant. We went back, hand delivered to the tenant as well as found another owner who was on Ridgewood, and I hand-delivered to him, and he told me he was a co-partner, and he would make sure this gentleman here received it as well.
Was he a co-partner?
No, I don't have any co-partners on the property. I'm not alone.
The property appraiser's website took me to that address. That's the address I went to. That was the name on the address. And he signed for it as well and told me that he will also get with his partner.
Yes. I'm not in the property anymore to get the mail.
All right. Cheryl, entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $5,000, subject to being paid within 30 days, or the fine will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion? Motion by Mrs. Hines. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye. Like sign is opposed.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Yeah. Okay.
Motion. I didn't vote.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Let's have a roll call. Yes.
Ms. Hines?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
No. I'd like another motion.
Ms. Jones?
No.
Mrs. Martin?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a
Wendell?
No.
Okay, motion fails. Is there another motion? Go ahead, Mr. Harrington.
Reduce the fine to $10,000.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, motion by Mr. Harrington and a second by Mr. Jones. All in favor, say it. Well, let's do a roll call again.
Ms. Hunley?
Yes.
Ms. Hines?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Whittle?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. All right, let's move on to, if you'll,
Madam Chair, you may want to announce to 30 days away if that's the intent of the,
Right. Okay. It was the chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $10,000, subject to being paid within 30 days of the final revert to the original amount. Okay. Lien review number two. CEB 02-17-14, 301 Gulf Boulevard. Respondents present? Please come forward. Could you please come forward, state your name and address for the record? Good morning.
Good morning. Nancy Kane, Kane Realty, 402 Seabreeze Boulevard, Daytona Beach, representing Ms. Sandra Lawrence, the property owner. She lives out of state.
I'm going to be sworn in. Come forward.
Douglas Ronsley, I'm the attorney for the neighbors at 1300 North Halifax.
Okay.
Mary DeLugo and Dylan Keith, they're unable to be here today, so I'm here to answer any questions on your behalf.
Okay. Is anyone else going to testify? Yeah. If you want to testify, come. Oh, that's me.
Yeah, they're not testifying as to the lien review, but as to the...
Oh, the number 29.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay. All right. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for a lien review. This is a situation where you had a reoccurring parking in the yard. With repeated complaints for parking, which resulted in the board ultimately fining $1,000 per occurrence for 15 occurrences. The staff's position is that there was some issue of dispute going on between the neighbors. The violation was apparently being ignored, and the fine is the result of that. And so the recommendation of the city is no reaction.
Okay. Mr. Clegg, would you like to say anything?
Officer Clegg, Code Enforcement, Neighborhood Services Inspector, my credentials are filed. What it was an ongoing feud between the neighbors, but the owner of the property applied for a permit for the driveway, as you see right there, on April 8th, and the phone got finalized on May 17th. What the issue was is that's where the driveway should be, on the east side. They were parking on the west side and on the grass in front by the mailbox. I got some more pictures if you need to see them. And I talked to Mrs. Cohen, and she told me that there was a survey that allowed them to park on the east of the west side, on that side, which I was not aware of, or that there was no evidence to that. So.
You don't have a copy of that survey?
No, sir.
Okay. Did the survey grant permission to park, or how did...
The survey shows...
Wait.
Like I said, this is the first I've seen that she told me about it a couple of days ago, but at the repeat violation status in September, there was other issues, and a complainant continually sent me pictures, emails of the violations, and at the point to where, I think it was in March, I just told her she didn't need to send me any more pictures. So, but if you'd like to see this some more up here, and...
So they're in compliance as of today?
They're in compliance as of...
or yesterday.
I'm sorry, May 17th when the Friday was finalized. Okay. I've not seen any other violations.
Okay.
Let me ask a question. The issue isn't whether they paid this business about...
Right.
The issue is they ignored 15 citations.
Right.
So that's what we should be...
I just wanted to bring to the fact that it is in compliance.
Whether there was a survey that allowed them to park or not.
Right.
When was that presented to you?
Right now.
The survey doesn't imply that they have the right to just, when the surveyor makes a survey, it just shows.
It just shows, correct.
It shows they give you the permission.
Right. That's why I wanted to bring up this part, that even though it was surveyed, as she told me about, the drive was finaled on the west, on the east side of the property as of May, so that's the correct shot right there. So legally right now, she can not make money park on that part of the property right now. So.
Yeah. Okay, Mrs. Kennedy, would you like to...
Can you put that photo back up of the driveway? This driveway is the one in the survey, and that is the legal driveway. No, not that new one. That is the new driveway for the other one. That is the legal driveway. That is concrete with rock on it, so that's where they were parking. And then the other driveway that we just poured, that's my understanding where the code violations were coming from, because it used to be stones there, but grass grew over it. And we were going to restone it, but then we thought we wanted to do things right. So we got the permit and the survey to have this driveway poured, which we paid almost $5,000. So it's my understanding that the other driveway was not in violation because that was the legal driveway at the time. And the violations were not ignored. As I stated, the property owner was out of state, and I came to pull a permit. The city would not let me pull a permit. The owner had to come. She was not going to fly to get a permit. So in the meantime, we got the survey done and had contractors come and give estimates, and since then had it poured.
What was your contact with the people who were doing the parking?
The tenants?
Tenants. What did you tell them after the 10th time? Let's forget the 15th.
We're not aware of 15. I only show six violations on record. How many? Six.
But when did you become property manager?
About a year and a half ago.
Okay. Were you aware of six violations?
No, because some of them were prior to my taking over. Let's see. The first one was September of 2015, and we took over in December of 2015. There was another one in February of 16. That one was completed. And then what started it all evidently was November of 16, parking on the grass. And we did come to a code hearing in December, and that was all remedied. And then they got another... Well, that's the last mistake. In January of 2017, there was another violation, and there was a hearing in February that we were not notified of. Excuse me, so we were not present. And that's when they assessed the $1,000 per violation, and I never saw 15 violations.
Does the tenant's lease spell out what the parking requirements are on that property, or is there a lease?
There's not currently a signed lease. And again, I requested from the city photos of 15 violations, and I was not provided that. I was provided about 8 photos, which were duplicates, so about 4 photos, one of which was the vehicle parked in the actual legal driveway. Again, it's not been ignored. We did put in a new driveway.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this description of a legal driveway, there was not parking on a paved improved surface required for it to be defined as a legal driveway. The notification for the hearing was January 27th. A green card was signed by Sandra Sue Lawrence in Bavale, Texas. So the notification of that hearing was I have the certified mail return.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. We'll hear from witnesses.
May I just add one more thing?
Yes.
We'd like to think that the mission of code enforcement is to correct the violations by working with the property owners and not imposing these excessive fines. We've corrected the situation since we put in the new driveway. They're parking on the new driveway and the original driveway. They're not. There is no more lawn parking. And the violations were for parking on that one side where the new driveway now is.
And if I may, Madam Chair, I'm with the board. I agree. Once there's a finding of noncompliance, we expect that everything's been remedied. However, that's why we have our repeat violation penalties for people who, after once remedying a violation, then repeatedly violate it again. I do have pictures from the inspector, additional pictures that he wanted to submit to the board. I will make that
a review on that. That's the driveway. That's the original driveway, so I don't know why they think. So what's the violation in the photo? I'm not sure what the violation is. He's in the
Well,
this is the... This
wasn't
is,
that after you
okay, that's the original driveway.
Tony, did the 15 violations occur prior to the police permit being sought?
I have to look to the inspector. He's not in his head yet.
The building permit was pulled.
You can speak to that and you can...
The 15 violations occurred
way before that, from September, but it was prior to the permit was applied for on April 18th.
tried to pull him through the driveway.
Right. And then, like I said, that's why I brought up
the... Once they pulled the driveway permit, then we shouldn't be getting his back.
Right. Correct. Okay. And this was in April, April 18th.
And the violations occurred on where the concrete driveway is now, where they were parking illegally.
Right. From January.
Not the other side.
Right.
Do we want to see these photos?
Yes, I do. As I understand them, let me get this straight.
Okay.
When this board voted to give them a $15,000 fine, it was because Officer Sweet testified.
But wait a minute. All right.
That Officer Sweet testified that he talked to the people in the violations and they were being ignored. There was no citation for not having a driveway paved or anything. So the issue is, why were these ignored? Because you had no order to do anything on that driveway. You had an order to stop parking there. And that's what the fine was for. So
trying to repeat violations and ignoring exactly what this board happened.
I didn't happen to vote for that particular one, but I would have voted for a less amount, but I still understand that the issue was one of ignoring these complaints.
Right. Yes, please. Is there anyone else that would like to testify right now?
Well,
hold on. Speak into the mic, please.
Once again, Douglas Ronsley is representative of the residents of 1301 North Halifax, one of the direct next-door neighbors, who are responsible for most of the photographs that the chair and the board are reviewing now. It's just that their position that the issues are ongoing and that their position hasn't changed from the time they testified at the previous hearing when the fine was enforced.
Sorry, I don't understand how the issues are ongoing. If it's
wait 1 second, Ms. Kenny. Okay. I could pass half one way and half the other. Pretty obvious.
We'll like to indicate to the board that the minutes from the February 9th meeting are in your packet.
Correct.
So.
Is there any other comments from the board?
What's your recommendation? What is the city's recommendation regarding this?
Mr. Jones, the city's recommendation is no fine reduction.
Okay. Ready for a motion? Okay.
And again, I'd like to ask, you put the evidence of 15 photos of 15 violations because I've not seen them.
Isn't that what this is?
I have no idea what that is.
The evidentiary hearing was held back in February.
Correct.
We don't have the officers here, but they testified it was a daily occurrence. So
right.
Whether you have the photos or not, we have sworn testimony that this was a daily occurrence.
Mr. Jones?
No, we're fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, the chair will entertain a motion to deny a reduction of the lien. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Jones. Second, Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries.
1 second, this is
going to take
the
actual
image. Yeah. All right, let's go on to case number 29 on the agenda, which is directly That would be a new case. Regarding this same property, so the officer can testify. Yep. That's work. Alright, if anybody would like to testify in case number 29, CEB06-17-79 at 301 Golf Boulevard. Anybody like to testify in this case?
New case.
Alright,
Madam Chair, members of the board, as you indicated, this is case number 29. This is before you for a violation of the dorm living. And the desire of the board, we now have a letter from the owner that indicates that they are now in compliance, that they signed an affidavit saying that they don't have the additional people, and there was some acknowledgement that there were additional people in the residence that were unrelated. They've since remedied that. They've given an affidavit to the inspector. The position of the inspector is he accepts that as being in compliance, and so our request for today is for finding of that they were in non-compliance at the time, but now in compliance.
Okay.
This is before we on our first determination.
Yes,
we're also here. Welcome to the meeting. Good morning.
Good morning.
On, I'm sorry. Okay. Officer Richard Young, Dakota Beach Police Crime Suppression Team.
Thank you.
And also, we're asking for the examination as you made the decision to the number of evidence and how
the number
of people were
that in the time. Absolutely. On December 14th, 2016, members of the crime suppression team and SWAT team conducted a search warrant at 301 Golf Boulevard. Inside, we encountered 5 adults and 2 children. Inside there were, it looks like 3 bedrooms and 1 maybe makeshift bedrooms or 4 bedrooms. Inside, once we were done with our investigations, I personally interviewed everybody inside to try to figure out who was staying where. To continue my investigation, the main resident, Mr. Pierre, has his girlfriend, I believe her name was Sarah Gallegos. They're staying in the main bedroom. Sarah Gallegos, on her Florida driver's license, says she's been there at least since October of that year, so that's about 2 months. Then spoke to Mr. DiPaolo, who was staying in one of the other bedrooms. He told me on camera that he was staying there approximately 40 days, so a little over a month. He also told me there was a female there named Brittany Denny that was Mr. DiPaolo's girlfriend. He says they've been together for several years and they've been living together, so that would be she was there for at least 40 days as well. And there was also an older male, Mr. David DeSoma, who stated on video that he's been there since February of 2016, which at the time would have been 9.5 months, 10 months. So, when we went to each room, each one, the older gentleman showed us his room, which was just clearly his stuff. The other couple, Mr. DiPaolo and Mrs. Denny, they showed us their room, and of course Mr. Pierre and Ms. Gallego showed us their room, and then there was kind of like a mission. Mm-hmm.
Well, what does the makeshift room consist of?
It looked like just maybe a den or a living room or some sort of space garage or something like that, They just turned the room.
Are any of these people related to each other?
The children.
Yeah,
They don't live there. They just were there for, I guess, the weekend or whatever. They share time with the mother.
Who is the mother of the children?
I do not have that information. Okay. I know who it is, but I don't have it here.
Okay.
Did any of these people indicate they had a lease or who they were paying their rent to?
No, I didn't. I didn't ask that question at the time. That wasn't my, my concern.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else that would like to testify? And I want to just make sure now, who is living there? Do we know who's living there now?
Yeah, I'll call Tom Fleet.
Mr. Fleet?
I'll check quick again, my credentials are in file. I talked to Mrs. Cohen at a Beller meeting in December. She told me that he was under the impression he could sublease and that he's not doing it anymore. I got the affidavit. But to answer your question, I was tender to her because I'm not sure exactly who lives there still. But I got two affidavits, one in April, one in September, stating that he's not dorm living anymore. So.
And that's our typical remedy for?
Yes, the typical remedy is getting an affidavit for...
And best of your knowledge, assuring that you don't know of anyone being there.
Mr.
Craig,
you say you have two affidavits.
Yes.
In,
yes, we know.
One
in September when we originally had a case on it, and again, just reassured after I talked to this company in December that's not happening, and she finally got it to me in April.
All right. So... What you're telling the board? Oh, would you like to speak?
I just have a question. I want to clarify something just for my own education.
Do we need to have your name?
Sorry, Doug Ramsey again for the residents of 1300 North Halifax, the neighbors. Ms. Himes just asked a question. I want to make sure I understood correctly. The one affidavit, there was no dorm room, was submitted in September 2016. And the testimony of the officers that there were people living in the house up to 8 months before that, starting in December 2016. I just want to make sure I understand that that was the affidavit offered. Thank you.
I apologize. I have to correct myself. It wasn't September. It was October 17th that the affidavit first came in, and then I had another one referred on April 16th, 2007.
Yes, please. Well, Mr. Peer acts like he's the owner of the... I have no more... I'm going to read this. I, Getty Peer, declare that as of this date, which is 4/24/17, I have no more than two unrelated individuals living in my home, and that I have no short-term renters. Well, he doesn't own the home. That this information is true, correct, and complete. And then the other one that I have here, that's the same, is on 323. That's the same thing. Those are both affidavits. One dated April 16, 2017, a couple months ago, and the other one's dated October 17, 2016. So one this past April and one last October. So somehow something happened in between last October and this April.
Yeah. Now, our position is that they were non-compliant. They remain non-compliant,
okay.
But now they are in compliance.
That's fine. Okay. All right. Katie, you want to just put these into the record, too? Okay. Thank you. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in non-compliance for currently in compliance and for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence in case be dismissed. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion, Mr. Jones. Second, Mr. Leatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Now we'll move on to... Lien review number 3 at 208 Fairview. Respondents present.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Madam Chair, members of the board, Evan Kleinman on behalf of Ms. Darcy Watson.
Okay.
And thank you for your time this morning. We definitely appreciate it.
Would you please be sworn in as well?
Awesome.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Okay. Could you state your name and address for the record? Okay. State your name and address for the record, please.
Darcy Watson, next, 208 Fairview Avenue.
Okay.
Darcy Watson, next, 208
Fairview
Avenue.
Okay. Daytona
Beach.
And you are, sir?
Yes, my name is Abraham LaRose, and 3613 on Fire Heights Road in Orlando, Florida.
What is your relationship to?
I'm the buyer of the property.
The buyer of the property. Okay. All right. Mr. If you all have a seat, we'll give you an opportunity to speak. We're going to hear from the
code enforcement. Okay.
And then we'll give you an opportunity to speak.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for a lien review. This is an unusual circumstance. This is one where we're coming with a, and I say unusual, with a special circumstance, at least that's the request. What's unique about it is that our policy or the practice of the board is that we don't consider lien reviews on property that is not in compliance. The circumstance regarding this property is that it is not in compliance. However, there is a letter that was submitted, and I don't know if you had an opportunity to look at that, by Mr. Kleinman, the attorney who is present before you today, and the gist of that letter is expresses the health conditions of Ms. Watson and her inability to bring property in compliance, but her ability to now have a willing buyer who is promising to bring property into compliance, and the request is for a reduction of the lien that would allow them to move forward on this process. Is basically what the request is, and part of that, they'll come in. I'm sorry, they'll explain their circumstances full, so I'll leave that for them to explain, and you can determine on whether you feel that that's adequate hardship or consideration under this situation to allow it or not. The city's position is, based on what's been described and what we received from the attorney, the city is not in any objection to a reduction. In fact, we would be willing to agree to a reduction to $1,000 based on the nature of what was being planned. As with any circumstance, once the property changes hands, it becomes the obligation of the new owner to bring it into compliance and be subject to all the future code action if they don't take the actions necessary. With that being said, I would honestly expect to have anything else to add necessarily at this moment, but I'll be interested in hearing from the requesters. Do you have another question?
I do. I do have a question. Is there anyone residing there now, Mr. Fitzgerald?
Ms. Darcy Watson is residing, I'm sorry, Michael Fitzgerald, my credentials are on file with the city. Darcy Watson is there, and then they have a an ex-tenant who's renamed. A hangover tenant, I guess, without a lease and not paying.
Okay. The conditions seem pretty dire. Is that a good way to describe it?
Yes.
And all right, that's fine. Mr. Harrington?
Does this mean that the property sells, that the new owner has a case open against that property? what I'm asking is, well, how do we have to start the ball rolling all over again to see that it comes in compliance when he takes ownership?
Yeah, because this isn't before you as an active case. Well, it's an active case. We would just be substituting someone in. In this circumstance, we already have an existing lien that would be there until we remedy it. But the new person coming in will be starting new with that new individual. So, yeah, they would be on a CED1 status, in effect, just understanding that giving them reasonable time to comply with the violations that exist, and if they aren't making progress, bring them before board and making findings and so forth.
What's a reasonable time?
The inspector is saying, based on the nature of the violations, 6 months would be a reasonable time to comply.
Okay. Thank you. Would you all like to come up and want one at a time, or all, you know, speak, please? Thank you.
If I may, the word that you used is exactly correct. It's dire. And understanding that, and with full realization that there's really nothing she could ever do to bring it into compliance, it's been her desire to, just financially and health-wise. It's a vicious cycle. The worse her health gets, the more she's unable to entertain bringing it into compliance. She suffers from Parkinson's and some other medical conditions. But that being said, she certainly wanted to do the right thing. And fortunately, Mr. LeBose is willing to do the right thing. He understands that there's no surprises, the condition of the property. He knows what he has. I don't want to speak for him, but we've had discussions. He knows exactly what's entailed, and it's most likely going to be a complete tearing it down, possibly to the studs or to the block, whatever needs to be done. And that's certainly in the best interest of the community, because the house now, I'm not going to dance around it. It's a blight. It's an eyesore. There's it's a hazard. A black eye on that neighborhood, and Mr. LeBose is willing to come in, do the right thing, renovate it, bring it into compliance where it's habitable, where it continues to be in compliance, and he can explain in further detail. But as far as Ms. Watson, and she's concerned, there's a level of pride that she had to come across. She's had some financial hardships, and this is the last thing she's really hanging on to, is this home. And it took a lot for her to get to that point to realize that, to come to the reality that there's nothing she can do to bring it into compliance, and that the only option at this point is to find a new place to live, something she can control. And she's in the process of doing that. We're at the point we have a sales contract. We're set to close. The closing date now is set for Monday coming up.
June 12th, right?
June 12th. It may be, depending upon what happens here today, if there's issues with paperwork, it may be reset to the following day, but in all likelihood, next week, June 12th, or very soon thereafter. Mr. Greenberg, the real estate agent, is present here also, and he's gone over and above. The one thing that I do feel good about is that the property will be in the condition where it's compliant. Mr. LeBose knows what he's getting into. He can explain further. He has the resources to do it, and he understands that he has no choice. He can't do anything with the property until it becomes compliant. He can't rent it out. He can't use it, certainly not using it for himself, but in order to better the community, at least that it appears if he comes in and takes control that it's not going to continue to be the problem that it has. And it's been an ongoing problem, that it's just clear with the condition, the people that are there, that Ms. Watson is pretty much unable to get rid of. That's all going to change. So once again, I thank you for your time. I know it's an unusual circumstance. It's just you know, in some ways, it might be putting the cart before the horse, but unfortunately, yeah, unfortunately for her, every penny counts in terms of getting suitable housing. So with that large, you know, lien there, it takes away from her ability to find a place that she can live. And I definitely, again, I'm grateful to the city, because with our ongoing conversation, you know, we're being proactive and, you know, realizing that there's nothing more she could do, and the only thing she can do is to sell the properties to somebody that has the ability, that has the capability to make you compliant. So, that's...
All right. Thank you. Ms. Watson, where will you be going and when will you be going?
I don't know. I'm probably going to get to...
Well, you move up to the... Go ahead.
I don't know at this point. We're just closed. I'm going to go to an extended hotel for a week or two and find out what I'm doing. I've already called my real estate agents. I've got three of them working on it. I'm trying to find something that I can financially afford.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any family members that are helping you, or?
Mm-hmm. Just recently, they gave me a couple
of thousand.
All right. What I meant was they're helping
you. Okay, that's right. Who is the tenant? Will the tenant be out of there as well?
I'm having extreme difficulties. They haven't paid in over a year. They're violent towards me. I've had the police there 3 times a week. They're not doing anything. He's willing to do something about it.
Okay. Well, let's hear from Mr. LeBose, please. Thank you.
I got some people living here up on top of her house. And inside the house, it's like a gang on her, you know. And the day they close, and all the people in, you know, and the place where she lives has to be out. You know, because it's about 3 or 4 people, like I don't know his name. So, basically, as soon as the people in the day closing have to be out with that, with it. And then I'm working with this code enforcement to rebuild the place. As soon as possible. That's why.
Right, that is correct. All right. Well, part of the reason I asked that question is because this is very unusual, and I don't recall doing lien reductions when something is not in compliance. And I'm struggling with all the issues that there are there to reduce the lien amount until it is in compliance. If there are alternatives for us to consider, that maybe you in a month after it closes, come back and ask for a lien reduction or whatever, if the property is in compliance. But there seems to me to be multiple issues that we're dealing with on kicking out tenants.
Go
ahead, Mr. Weatherholt.
My question is to the future owner. What's your, you know, after it's closed, you get the tenants out, what is your time schedule in order to bring the property up to code? Are you planning on pulling a permit in 30 days?
The main thing over there is to clean the place.
Okay.
There are too many trash in the place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the main thing. I can do it every week. So there's no big deal. The people inside, that's the problem. It's the only thing concerned about. But maybe take the time. I try to fix the legal things. So, I mean, I try to cooperate with the police or the court enforcement. You got people living in the yard, not even inside the house. So that's why I have to be cooperating with the police department.
Well, after new ownership, you know, if they've been given notice, I would assume that it would be a fast process, especially if it's in the condition that, you know, that the house is in. My concern is, once the new ownership, as the chairman said, you know, is when it's going about. I think 6 months is a little too long, in my opinion. You know, I just wondered if the status, you know, cleaning up is one thing, but a shorter period of time on the structural aspect of it. Well, I know, but the eviction is, shouldn't take, well, I'm no expert at it, but shouldn't take that long.
No, most of the people live with her, so as soon as she leaves, she has to be.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So my point is just, you know, once the ownership is complete, the time process of, you know, you can, as you say, you can start cleaning up the area, but my concern is when the permits for the structural and everything will be taking place.
Mr. Jackson?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. I'm not sure if you had a chance to look back at the minutes from the meeting of April 14, 2016, but it is apparently, structurally, we could assume nothing's changed. But if it's the same conditions that they're describing now, it sounds like they are. These conditions were that the and I'm a little disappointed we don't have the pictures before you, but it says Mr. Fitzgerald stated, described the pictures and pointed out the outside storage, rotten wood, backyard, garbage, and further back, the owner is allowing people to sleep in the backyard of her property in the woods. So the folks who are outside, it's not an issue. That's any, a new owner would trespass, so, or have the right to.
Yes.
I mean, to allow them, that's a whole different. Now, if there's someone inside, of course, they'll hold over a tenant or at least make the argument of a tenancy, whether they are or they aren't. You asked, Madam Chair, a history, and I don't remember if you were on the board, because at the time, since I've been doing this for the last 18 years, but I know that at least on two occasions, we have looked at circumstances and have been willing to make those considerations. As I said, the staff is willing, but of course we leave that in the hands of the board, and if there are conditions that, or things that you think would be things you need, then that's fine. I don't really have a suggestion. I don't know if Ms. Keenum may have any
ideas. I don't know. I'm looking for a way to postpone doing this lien review until the property is in compliance.
Typical way, and maybe they can answer why this couldn't happen. I think the typical way would be that they take money in escrow and then get released after the fact. And maybe he didn't have enough money to do that. I don't know.
You can't get title insurance if this lien is made.
Okay, well, there's the answer. That's more than I know. But you're probably right.
Well, they could certainly close with X amount of money in escrow, which would not be released until they come into compliance.
Yeah.
I don't know how they'll be able to fix the canopy of that thing, but they could do that. I mean, but, you know, they could always start a new case, too, so,
I will want to point out as well that, at least from the perspective of the code inspector's representation, is that the neighbors were one in favor as well because of the conditions. I didn't read them all, and I'm hopefully Mr. LeBose has had an opportunity to look at the past meeting. You know, outside storage, junk, trash, debris, damaged fence paint, rotting wood, rotten harbors, noxious weeds, damaged accessory structure, which is a garage that was burnt, and shed that will have to be torn down and rebuilt, structure numbers, exterior walls, having evidence of deterioration, ripped, torn, or missing screen. So it is substantial.
So that's what I'm saying. That's the whole aspect of the structural part of it. Some kind of time limit that would be for the record for the new owner to get it, you know, to start or and with code enforcement to give them a reasonable amount of time. And I'm saying 30 days after closing to start the process and if permits are applicable, to start pulling in.
That would be the normal, again, I'd say, quote, the CED1 process of code being involved but not yet being a code case to the extent of being before the board. But the code would be involved from the beginning because we already know of these existing violations. I think we have over here the realtor.
Ah, good. Okay, please come forward. State your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
My name is Nicole Chapman, and I reside at 1008 Whipple World Drive, Port Orange, Florida. Thank you for hearing me, ladies and gentlemen. I want to just speak to this since I've been involved with this from when Darcy and Ms. Watson had reached out to a peer of mine looking to list her home. She, the particular person wasn't able to help her at that moment, and asked Mark Greenberg and I, who was also present here today, to please go see her. We went down to the home at 208 Fairview Avenue, not knowing at all what we were getting into. We went down there and just looking at our computerized comp systems and whatnot, we figured the value of that home should be somewhere around $150, a very reasonable, marketable rate. We were in shock when we got there. When you talk about the condition of the home being poor, it is probably even an understatement. We couldn't even see most of the home because of these squatters, dare I say, who are, and I have experienced and seen firsthand, could be violent and aggressive, not only towards the owner of the home, but towards us as well. We did go through and see what we could see of the home with Ms. Watson and sat down with her, not inside, but out on the curb, quite literally, to say, we thought your value of your home would be much higher, but reality is listing this home at $75,000 is even going to be a Hail Mary miracle. She expressed to us that she was in over her head, that she did not know what to do about these squatters. She is completely, and excuse me, Darcy, inept to take care of this on her own, both financially and emotionally, physically. She doesn't have means of transportation. She doesn't have the money to go through the legal proceedings to evict these people from the home who no longer have any kind of legal lease. They are squatters. But because they have residency there, they have now gone to that home, to the city, they are legally able to be there. She has called the police. I have called the police and talked to them myself to make sure what this woman is telling me is accurate. Does she have any legal recourse? Yes, she does, but she needs to file for eviction. Eviction requires you to put a 3-day notice on the door and then go down to the court and actually file for eviction proceedings. That costs money, that you need an attorney for. These are things this woman was not able to do. She couldn't even physically get herself to the courthouse to do these things. With that in mind, we went ahead, and God knows I should get some mitzvahs in heaven for this. We went ahead and took the listing, knowing that it would be tough. We had to put the listing on MLS. We had to warn other agents to be very aware of their safety because of the situation with the people on the property. Ms. Watson has difficulty keeping her cell phone on for any number of reasons, whether it's being lost or it's being turned off or she's out of minutes. We have had to go down to that property simply to communicate with her on multiple occasions. We've had to go down there together because I personally did not feel comfortable just sending my partner on his own, feeling there needs to be somebody ready and able to call 911 should you need to. We had other buyers for this property. We had buyers who literally walked on the property, gave an offer, sight unseen, walked on the property and canceled their offer. Never even stepped one foot into the property. We've had people, other agents, send us pictures of a sign up that the tenant put up, you try, you die. Don't go in that unit. I sure as hell wouldn't. We're just about to give up on this listing. Not because we want to sell the home. You have to understand, folks, we don't make very much money in this at this level. But because it was the right thing to do. You have a woman here who's reaching out for help, who wants to do something different, knows the only way she can do it is to start over. She needs to start over fresh. If we don't reduce this fine, she can't do that. And here we have a willing buyer who is willing to come in and take on that role. Sometimes it just has to be a new day.
All right. Okay, thank you. We need to...
Question.
Okay, Mr. Harrington.
She does not have the money for an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that gentleman is an attorney.
Yes, and I believe... I think her mother had taken care of that.
It's not relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments from the board? They did. They said they had a recommendation to reduce it to $1,000.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, that's correct.
I got an email from Ms. Hampton, and, you know, just to make some of these issues, you know, a little more clear, I think there was also a condition that, and these are kind of no-brainer items for Mr. LeBose because these are things he wants to do anyway. It would be that register the property as a trespass, which is something that hasn't been done, which partners with the city to be able to remove. It's going to be, you know, taking care of in advance that it's cited as a trespass area. And number two, the property shouldn't be rented, occupied, or utilized until it becomes compliant, which is almost a redundancy.
Right.
You know, that would have to happen anyway. And secure and maintain the property possibly while the renovations are going on, that no one can access it, board it up, keep it, you know, closed up so that...
So, am I to understand that these would be conditions of the lien reduction? Can we
yes.
do that?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Okay.
But that doesn't dismiss the compliance. You still have a
very confused case.
I may have some extra information.
Go ahead.
At this point. Speaking with the neighbors in the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
this maybe I'll describe it for you and it'll come back. This is the property where we had a lot of people camping in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. Then the car burned.
Mm-hmm.
Now the garage burned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
okay.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, 30 or 50 congregate every day. And it's a neighborhood issue also. It's a quality of life issue for that entire neighborhood to make this move forward. And that's really why we this
I understand that. Okay. If somebody came to us with closing papers, I would have no problem moving this along. My concern is with every real estate deal, not just this one, that there is the possibility that the deal will fall apart.
You can make it subject to closing.
Okay. So we'll make
that. How did you say that you have to pay $1,000 to whatever it comes up to?
Okay.
Be payable upon closing.
Okay. That would, I could support something like that.
And Madam Chair, also with the things that Amy
right.
But just clarification, and because I don't want to mislead or fill in with that later. I mean, as Mr. Harrington pointed out, for title insurance, they have to have this thing off the book for at the time of closing. So if the lien is...
It would be, you would supply the satisfaction, they come up with $1,000, and that would be lost to the same time of closing.
But I guess what I'm saying, though, is when you say the conditions would be these things that have been stated, only to the extent that it's something you could look back at if he comes back before you, not in time. Right, it would be that. A historic event that you could look back at and say, you promised, which you can have him do right now, that you're going to do these things, and you didn't do them. And so, this is why we're dealing with you the way we're dealing with you.
So we could just bring
in
forward
future, a new case. Have a future. Yeah, it would be a new case because we have would not be an existing case.
Right.
This case would be resolved at the time of the, you know, the release. So that's the only thing I want to make sure that that's clear.
If we reduce the lien and the deal does not go through, then what happens?
We're going to reduce the lien. It has to be at closing.
Upon subject to closing. Okay. All right. I just want to make... I'm ready to put that in the motion then.
I'll second that.
Okay. Mr. Jones.
Would the city have any problem with reducing it to 500 from 1,000?
Excuse me. No, the city's fully discretion, of course. That was just a number we had. We would be bound with a lesser number if that was divorces.
Well, you know, a lot of times, I've been on this board a long time, and we hear ridiculous arguments from people that we know aren't telling the truth. I think these people are telling the truth, mm-hmm. and we should help this citizen as best we can. And I would suggest we reduce it to $500.
I would send a second on that. And I agree. I have no problem with that at all. I agree.
All right.
We don't have a motion.
We don't have a motion yet on the floor. So let me make a... let me entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $500 subject to the property... closing and payable within 30 days. No, payable at closing. Okay. Or the fine will revert to the original amount. All right. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
Oh, Mr. Jones made a motion. Mr. Weatherholt second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Good luck.
Thank you again for your time.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was... All right. Wow, that was an interesting case. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Who was on the first hearing case? He's requesting that...
Can you tell me what... Is that Mr. Newell? No, who are we look? No, we did 29. Hold on.
Yes.
Mr. Newell. Yes. Case number 30 under new cases, is that it? At Daytona Beach Club condo?
Mr. Clay and I are going to update the Newell Daytona Beach Bar. If possibly we can do Mr. Clay's and mine at the same time. That'd be great, and then...
okay, so we'll do Mr. Cleed first, and then we'll do yours right after?
If we could do all three of mine right after, that'd be wonderful. Because I have three of them, 33.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right, let's start with our continued cases. Number one, CED 11-15-58 Daytona Beach Condo Association. We're here for a progress report. Please come forward. Yes, please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in. Thank you. Good morning.
Robert A. Fitzpatrick, 214 Loomis Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida. State my name, record, and what?
Be sworn in.
Okay.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
We'll do them all at once. Yeah, just state your name and address for the record, and we'll swear both of you.
Steve Merchant, 9451 South Run, Orlando, Florida. I'm the condo association president for the Daytona Beach Club.
Stephen Folt, 600 North Atlantic, Unit 502. I'm the vice president of the association.
All right. We'll hear from... Well, it's just a progress report, so what progress have you made, gentlemen?
We took over the project from a previous engineer who was unable to go forward, and work on the parking deck started on February 20th. The work's been proceeding. There is a great deal of work being done on the parking decks. It's being done by AAT Restoration Company. We have been out there 16 times to inspect the work, and the work's being done the way it should be done, the way it was permitted to be done.
So. Okay.
And so now you're the engineer of record?
That's correct.
And
go ahead, sorry.
So the work that's been done is adequate, and they're progressing?
It's been done very well.
Yeah. I mean, we've had these reports from these gentlemen, and seems is the project still on what you projected completion date?
We have two phases that we're working on, so the project will probably go at least until October. We'll finish the parking decks hopefully by the middle of July. But then they'll continue to work on balconies, columns, that kind of
thing. I mean, that's all stated in the permit.
Yes.
Okay. October finish. I think we're doing this every other month. Is that right, Mr. Clegg?
Quarterly?
Quarterly, yeah.
That's
fine.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
Mr. Klieg, are you satisfied with the progress?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Well, just clarification on the timing. I think the next one is scheduled. It is on the order, and the next one will be scheduled for August. So I don't know if that's the quarter or not.
August. And by that time, we should have an update on the parking should be completed. Is that right? Is that Mr. Loomis? Is that correct?
It should be, but you never know what you're going to get into. I mean, the project is going now. We think it will be done by the middle of July.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you. Well, maybe Mr. Merchant. How many engineers have we had on this case?
Only the second, and we started with Mr. Perros, and only because the engineer himself, he had the back issue that
okay.
he couldn't go forward,
right.
And this wonderful engineering company was stepped up and has done a great job. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to continue providing progress reports quarterly until compliance is achieved. I'm sorry.
It's the other month. She hasn't laid out any
continue providing progress report bi-monthly until compliance is achieved. There's such a motion.
Second.
Mr. Harrington, Mr. Jones, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. See you in August.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to do case Mr. Newell's cases, case number 30, 31, and 32, which are these new cases? Well, I have case number 30 is also Mr. Newell.
Yes.
That would be CEB 0617-67 Daytona Condo.
Yes,
is that correct?
Number 30.
Let's start there. Okay. And these are new cases. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, David Newell, Daytona Beach Fire. This also is 800 North Atlantic. The other items that they have on the fire site deal with emergency lighting, exit lights. Fire pump was not being within compliance. That's not to say that it wasn't working. And some other sprinkler and alarm issues in addition to some stairwell doors. I was notified by the sprinkler contractor 2 days ago that a permit had, they have signed a contract in regards to the sprinkler information for the sprinkler deficiencies. And then they're going to start addressing the rest of the violations that are in here. So my recommendation is non-compliance next cutoff.
Okay. Would you like to add anything, John? I think it's a new case, so they need to be, they don't need to be resworn, right? Just state your name and address for the record.
Excuse
Steve Merchant, 9451 Telfer in Orlando, President of Daytona Beach Board of Directors.
Okay, would you like to say anything about this?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
We have, just like we have at the issues, we take this very seriously and are taking action immediately. As President of the Board, I have signed actual contracts with Mastercraft to do all of the items that were noted in the January 4th inspection, I believe it was. I was updated last evening. I've been involved with this every day. Last evening, all our common area sprinklers the issues have been corrected that I was personally told. The direct issues with the pump and the fire log, I believe it was an actual issue that we, it was not that we were not keeping the fire log, it was that they wasn't able to view it when they came to site, but either way, I actually have pictures of the fire log where we do keep it. It was kept, though, to be most forthright. The last date that the fire log was actually done was January, whenever the inspection was with Firemaster, and they identified an issue with the pump that it was making a strange noise, and part of our contract with them is to have that repaired. It's like $9,000 that we already committed to that, to have that repaired. And the recommendation, was my understanding, was not to do the monthly check-in until it gets repaired, because you could just possibly damage it. It's a functional pump. Just the logging wasn't getting checked. So as quickly as, like I said, the contract signs, as they repair it, we will immediately initiate going the logbook again. Okay. The other issues, I've signed contracts for the doors. We made this decision last night. One of the issues with the doors thing is, not to make excuses, is after the hurricane, it's very difficult to get people there to do this kind of work for you. We were able to get two estimates. We made the final decision last night to go with All Pro Doors. And again, I initiated the approval of that contract last night and went forward and had that done. The backflow indicator, which is an issue, almost beyond my expertise. We've worked with that, though, and we had Mastercraft there over the last couple of days, including yesterday. I approved the work last night for them to come back and do the excavation of the area so that they can determine how to place the backflows, and we are committed to doing that work. We just don't have a quote for me to sign the contract at this time.
Okay. Mr. Noel, anything to add?
With regards to the backflow preventer, that was just something that was noted that has to be done per the state. It was just noted in my here that it has to be done and is required to be done. And I spoke with not also the board, but also spoke with the contractor of being able to get that done. And it will be, they do have to do some excavating and trying to figure out where the lines are in conjunction with what the city allows and permits. So.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and order respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is July 5th, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Still moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Weather, Holt, second, Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
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 Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Case number 31, CEB06-17-68, J-Pops Property, at 1450 South Palmetto Avenue. Respondent present? Okay. Mr. Newell.
David Newell, Daytona Beach Fire. This property is a townhome. It is owned, and the gentleman who owns the entire property, I have not really had much contact with until recently. In this, just basically deals with some fire alarm issues dealing with the property access for us, and is required to be inspected and tested on an annual basis. There has been no inspection and or tested, and in the pictures in which you'll see, we can't actually get access to it. I did gain access, and there was what we call trouble light alarms, things that are problems that may not be able to warn us, either audiovisual or via another dispatch center. So currently at this time, speaking with them on site, they are in the process of getting that corrected. So recommendation is non-compliance next cutoff.
Okay. Any questions? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance in order for respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, July 5th, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Jones. Second, Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, let's move on to case number 32, CED06-17-69, Certified Village Condo, Villas Condominium Association at 101 South Peninsula Drive. Mr. Newell.
Yes, regarding this property, it's an apartment complex. As you'll see in the photos, what they've had is an alarm issue, kind of similar with what we've had before with this the previous property that we just did. Not inspected and tested as it was required. Basically, it was a complaint from a resident after entering the property, or her residence noted that the firearm or the firearm part of the system in there was not operational, in my opinion, possibly due to the storm water getting, you know, in that unit. So they are currently, after speaking with the owners of the property who are out of South Florida, stated that they had changed management companies and they totally forgot about this issue that was going on. They had been in contact with me. They have contracted with somebody to fix the problem, and they were hoping to get a lot of it fixed by today. However, that has not been the case, but they are actively moving along with getting that. This property has been here previously in the past, a couple years ago. They did do what we asked in a timely fashion. So, again, with this property, we're going to non-compliance next cutoff.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Newell? Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance in order to respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, July 5th, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Weatherholt has made the motion, and the second, Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you. All right. Now, where were we? Okay. All right, we did that. Okay. Case number two, we're moving back to our continued cases in the beginning, and that will be case number CED04-17-20, Irvin White at 240 DeSoto Street. Respondent present, please come forward and be sworn in. Thank you.
Irvin White, 349 Street, Daytona Beach. I don't swear, but I will tell you the truth.
That's okay. All right, that's fine. Have a seat, and we'll hear from Ms. McCoy and Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, actually, this is here for a progress report. We have a compliance date set for July at this time. You may recall, Mr. White has a project that's a bit substantial, and I think we're at the point of him needing permits and so forth, but we'd like to hear from him.
Okay.
There hasn't been any follow-up with the inspector since the last meeting.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Mr. McCoy.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Jerome McCoy, Neighborhood Service Inspector, my condition on file. We haven't really had much contact with each other since the last hearing, but I did check, and from his last testimony that he gave the last time, he was working on the permit, and it's not showing that the permits have, you know, been issued yet, so that's what we're waiting on.
Okay. All right.
Are the applications...
Mr. White. No, I think the... I'm sorry, Mr. Harrington, do you want to ask Mr. McCoy a question? Wait one second, Mr. White.
Granted, are the applications on file? I didn't see the applications that were submitted.
Okay, all right, Mr. White.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to, my recollection is that we were going to get permits and the contractor. I don't think the contractor.
Yes, I was told last night that everything had been applied for and you just wait for some feedback.
What's been applied for?
The permit.
Your contractor's
permit? Yeah. Yeah, the contractor applied for the permit and we're just waiting on feedback.
Huh.
Can I ask who your contractor is?
BB Construction. Okay.
And you put up
today
out in our
when did
they get on the ground?
I gave them the permit on Thursday last week. Gave them the plans on Thursday last week. First contract we had went on vacation right after I left here. For 2 weeks, I kept running around looking for him. Didn't get an answer. And when he came back, I didn't get good news, so I had to go find these guys that I have now. And when I found them, I gave them all the paperwork and
you personally applied for the permit?
No, I get the contractor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So. And he told me last evening that everything was turned in and he was waiting for feedback.
But we don't have record of that. Why would that be? I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Well, when I checked on a track it system, I did receive the permit that was applied for, because it will come up that it's been applied for, and there's no evidence of that. Nothing to
recommend. Mm-hmm. I know, I understand. Do we need...
So, as far as...
Do we need somebody from permits and licensing here?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Because as soon as you apply for a permit, they get a register
right.
That it's in works. And there's nothing that hasn't been applied.
Okay, what are we pointing out? Okay, they're saying that this is a copy of what's in our tracked record and it's nothing showing.
Okay.
And I understand representation is that it's his contractor did it, so I don't know where the breakdown is. But as I said, this is a progress report at this stage. So.
Right, progress report at this stage. So there's really, we're not taking any action today.
No,
compliance is set for next month.
That's why I called him last night. I told him I had to be at the meeting this morning.
Uh-huh.
I need to know what's going on because I had to report to you guys
right.
What the update was going on with it. He told me that the permit was applied for.
Okay.
I said, thank you, sir. That's all I need to
right.
Do.
Okay.
So I will leave here and go check on him and make sure.
Yeah, because there's obviously some issue. Okay, so we will, the compliance is set for next month. So that next month we'll see you again. Thank you. Okay.
Appreciate it.
Case number 3, CEB05-17-45, Sylvester and Garrett Covington at 613 Cherry Street. Respondent present? No. Okay. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of imposition of a fine. The inspector reported, he says, of our last meeting that there has been no communication if that's still the case. Okay. No communication from the respondent. However, he could see that they've done some cleanup. They are working on it. And there was an issue where they needed to have a tenant removed. And that has been initiated. So he's asking for the board to amend to the next cutoff, but on the coming to compliance because of the need to remove a tenant. And I tend to Mr. McCourt, do you have any further facts with us?
Mr. McCourt, let's see. The tenant, there's a tenant there now?
Not to my knowledge. It was a tenant there, and that was
so the,
from their words. That was the reason that they couldn't get the work started inside of the place. But from what I've seen outside, they have took care of the yard.
Okay.
It is some issues that's going on with the roof and with the stairs, the handrails and stuff that hasn't been addressed. But they have touched on the yard and the overgrowth.
So no one's living there now? Is that to your knowledge?
To my knowledge. I have no evidence.
Right. Okay. So what is the one-time fee then? Is the $250? What, we don't.
Well, this goes back.
Well, I guess that's how it was filed.
There was.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make that clear.
But I think the point still is that this inspector says he hasn't had any real communication from them, so no real knowledge of what they're intending,
right,
in terms of whether they intend to continue to run or not.
Right.
Interestingly, Ms. Covington was here meeting. I noticed her as when she was leaving, and I'm not sure what happened why she didn't come forward at the time.
Is this the second or the third time?
No, this is the second. I mean, we're on the initial finding last month.
Right.
Finding of compliance, non-compliance.
Right.
So Mr. Covington is very ill. Okay.
All right, so you're just asking to amend to the next cutoff, is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Because there has been progress.
That's correct.
Okay. Any other comments from the board? The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of non-compliance and allow respondent until July 5th, 2017 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mr. Time. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. We'll move on to case number 4. CEV05-17-46, Louis Miguel Rivera at 859 Dr. MMB Boulevard. Respondent present, please come forward. State your name and address for the record, sir, and be sworn in. Good morning.
Victor Brazza, 4833 Ridley Crescent, Valleton, Florida, 32119.
Okay, be sworn in.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth and all truth and nothing?
Yes.
All right, we'll hear from Mr. Jackson and Mr. McCoy first, and then I'll give you a chance to speak.
We didn't make inquiries to the relationship of Mr. Peralta to the case. I will note for the board that I have in my hand a copy of a warranty deed where he is now the owner. And I say that it's not recorded. It was prepared by a title company. At least the copy I have doesn't show a recording. But it was. It's dated May 23rd, 2017, and the Victor Peralta is the grantee. That being said, the request of staff is, as you know, this is before the petition was filed. However, because of the changed hands, the inspector indicated he had no contact from the Louis Rivera, the owner, since the last meeting, and he knew that there was this intent to try and sell them, and it's since been sold. We're asking that be amended to the August meeting, be amended to compliance for the August meeting with a progress report in July. The inspector feels it will take probably until August for them to come to compliance based on the nature of the violations and the number of items that have to be remedied. We would like to add Mr. The set of names. I'm sorry. Mr. Peralta. So that would be Victor Peralta. We would like to add him as the respondent in the case.
Okay.
My question to the city is, since there is warranty deed, that's change of ownership.
That's correct.
If the change of ownership, you can't, if it's indeed he is the owner, then it would have to fall under a new case, wouldn't it?
No. Because there were actually...
unless it was stipulated in the...
We couldn't find him today, but the new one here. He still has an opportunity to secure.
Yep.
Right. The,
change your name.
But the owner who was originally cited, mm-hmm. Because this case had already progressed, mm-hmm. is the person who was a respondent in the case. We can add an additional respondent. You can elect to release the prior owner's substitute. But what our practice has been is that we tend to only add the additional person who is elected to purchase the property. And the reason we do that is because the effect of the ultimate sanction is a sanction both against the person as well as the property. And what we try to discourage is people who are just selling out
I understand.
So that's kind of
what that's illegal or not.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's a problem.
Yeah,
it's not a problem. And in this circumstance, we don't have that. I'm sorry.
Let me cut you off. You can just need to close the case for a new case if you have a new owner. You can just add the new owner onto the case. As long as you don't find him today, so you have an opportunity to fix this. You got to give him an opportunity to solve the problem. But it seems we're not to give him that opportunity.
Right. I agree.
Understand. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess for clarity, what our position is that we ask for it to be continued, amended to the
argument. Yeah. Okay.
On a current case with a progress report from the new one.
Correct. Any comments? All right, Chair, I'll entertain a motion to. Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like to speak, sir? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we just bought it, but we just need like time, we need time to fix it. So probably like about 60 days,
something
like that. Mm-hmm. 60 probably.
Okay.
Just all right.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of non-compliance and allow respondent until the August 2nd cutoff date to come into compliance, further orders a progress report at the July 13th meeting, and by the new owner, or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved, if there's such a motion.
So moved.
All right. A motion, Mr. Harrington, second. Mr. Jones, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carried. We'll see you back here next month, and you tell us how things are coming along is what we need. Okay. Thank you.
What is it?
That the date of the next meeting is July 13th. All right, case number 6. CEB05-17-40, Mainstay Healthcare. Respondents present? Mr. Garcia. And Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The status is that that they're awaiting permits. They're still working on compliance, and the inspector is just requesting that we're meant to next cut off our tender on Mr. Garcia to give you further information regarding that.
Okay. Mr. Garcia.
Inspector Garcia, my credentials are on file. I don't know why Angel's not here, the guy that spoke last time about it.
Yeah, he was here last time.
Yeah. But we're amending because permits and license had to do a final. They did get the permits on May 17th for the sidewalk, and now they're in the process of, it's probably almost done, but they're planting all those plants and trees and all that. They replaced them from what they had taken out. All
right.
So that's what we're waiting on now, is for them to call permits and license for final inspection.
All right, any comments from the board or questions? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until the next cutoff date, July 5th, 2017, to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Such a motion?
So moved.
Second. All right. Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed.
I did not vote on that.
All right. Motion carries.
You said you did not vote on
that? No, he did not vote. He was not here during the meeting, so he didn't. Mr. Harrington didn't. Let the record reflect. Mr. Harrington did not vote on.
He's not in the room.
He's not in the room. All right. Case number 7, CEB 05-17-41. Michael Malik at 1208 Sunland Road. Mr. Malik present? He was here last time. Is he here today? No. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a, for two issues. One was for them to pull permits within 15 days and to frame a progress report for a compliance date that's set for July 5th, 2017. The inspector then Garcia. Mr. Garcia reports that he's heard nothing. Permits were not applied for. They weren't pulled. And I will tend to Mr. Garcia for any further factual information.
Okay. Mr. Garcia.
Inspector Garcia, credentials on file. I got a phone call from him. It was just a message left just stating that he was working on it. But I checked, there's no records of any saying that he applied for any permit.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen any progress or any changes. So
okay.
I thought he would be here, but he's not. So.
Right. All right, so we really, any questions from the board?
Can we rescind the compliance date and find him in non-compliance?
I think it may be more, I don't know, my opinion is that it might be more work than it's worth to do that, more paperwork, that the compliance date is set for next month, and if he's not in compliance, then we just move on from there. I don't know. I mean, we could change the compliance date, I guess, but once we've made that order, I just don't.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Ms. Harrington, my perspective is, they were ordered to pull a permit for
right.
15 days. If that was the sanction that you saw fit to be can, we're not asking for that. I think the consequence of that will arise in July if he's not diligent, so he'll have to just get diligent and get things done. He's ordered the compliance status for next month, and so our desire and hope is that he's in compliance, but if he isn't, we'll point back to this period and say that's the problem.
We also ordered a progress report
So
it's one big game.
Well, it creates a basis for why you could take that into consideration if he's asking for additional time. I mean, that's my perspective.
So next month it will come before us for compliance or non-compliance.
Well,
we simply determine.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, for imposition of a fine next month.
We've already got the fine.
Oh, we've got the, okay. All right. Okay, so next month we'll come back for a fine.
So the questions be questions of what kind of diligence we've had
correct.
Not having a response
okay.
this month.
All right. Good. So we need to do nothing right now with this case. All right, let's move on to case number 8, CEB 04-17-15, Norman Riley at 340 Taylor Avenue. Mr. Riley here, or Ms. Riley was here before. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Yes. Now, I'm Chair Members of the Board, this is before you get in position with fine. There were numerous conditions regarding this property, but in addition to that, there was a need to evict a resident. We call him a tenant. I think he said he wasn't quite that, but someone that he had to evict. The was scheduled for non-jury trial on June 6th. I don't know what the outcome, but it just occurred. And so we're asking to amend the next cutoff to allow her now the time to remedy the violations. I think the internal violations he had the issue of resolving first this tenancy problem. And so it's been a normal routine of the board, and in fact a necessity then for those issues to be remedied to allow for them to have the ability to comply.
If they didn't find the eviction in favor of the owner, then we're back to square one.
Well, if we can, she has to figure out. We'll have to talk about it. Hope we don't know the outcome though.
Mr. Cook, could I talk? Ask Mr. Fitzgerald some questions. Have you had contact with them?
With her, yes.
With Ms.
Yes.
Riley. Okay. And what did she tell you at that point?
The last time I talked to her said that he responded to the court on the last day. Because it would have been automatic.
Right, exactly.
And so I think now they have to say, do something else.
That is, okay.
She's trying everything she can.
Okay. But has anything been fixed at all?
While he was not there, she did a lot. The minute he got back, he was in jail for assault. She hasn't been back on the property since he came back. As tomorrow, yeah.
So now we're waiting for a court process to take place for the eviction.
Yes.
And after he is legally convicted, it is at that point that most of these
evicted.
Things need to be legally evicted. What did I say?
Convicted.
At that point, then everything has to be remedied.
It'll all start again.
Yes.
The time.
All right. Comments from the board? This first started in December. It's now July
or June. So.
What's your recommendation? To amend to the next
cutoff?
Yes, ma'am. To amend to the next cutoff.
I don't know that I'm all that comfortable with continuing this case since they've been notified since December. But Chair will entertain the motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until the 5th of July 2017 to come into compliance and return to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Aye.
Motion, Mrs. Hines. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Move on to 9, we've taken care of. They're in compliance. Case 10. CEB 05-17-44, Dolly Lockroom at 714 East International Speedway. Respondent present? Mr. Hopkins.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Members of the board. My name is Joe Hopkins, 100 Marina Point Drive here in Daytona Beach.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that
you're
about to
provide Mr. Jackson and Mr. Fitzgerald.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you can position the fine. The inspector reports that the wooden porch was erected without permits was removed. There's still a need for the parking lot permits. I know the last report from Mr. Hopkins was that I think you were working with the technical review, I believe. I'm not sure what the status of that is. Without that knowledge, we don't know whether to tell you to to amend or to find. I'll be interested in hearing from Mr. Hopkins on what we have no knowledge of any permits being issued at this point.
Okay. Do we have pictures? Okay. Mr. Fitzgerald, do you want to add anything? Have you had contact with anyone?
No, I had no contact. We're just waiting for the permits to be pulled. I had an email.
Okay.
From them.
Okay. So what about the wooden porch? So that, we don't have that?
No. Yeah.
No permit for that yet or whatever?
No, it's been removed.
Oh, it's been removed. Okay, so that's been removed. All right. Okay, Mr. Hopkins.
Yes, Madam Chair. We provided an update to Mr. Fitzgerald on May 24th, right after the board meeting on the 11th, notifying him that the porch was removed.
Okay.
I met with the technical review committee shortly thereafter, and they are requiring us to file a site plan because of the parking lot. There's a provision in the land development code under Article 7.2.M.4, which requires us to demonstrate that the paved parking lot does not create an adverse condition. We provided evidence to Mr. Fitzgerald and also to the TRT that the parking lot was paved beforehand, but we still have to go through that exercise to show that it doesn't create an adverse condition. Mm-hmm. We authorized a survey update to get the topography necessary to file the application. Once that information is in, we will submit to the city for a site plan. I provided another update to Mr. Fitzgerald on June 2nd, indicating that we had met with CRT and let him know that we were proceeding with the site plan.
Okay. So this has to now go to the CRA staff for the site plan.
Yes, ma'am.
Approval.
Staff review.
Right.
We did have a boundary survey, but we needed a topographic survey, and that is in the works right
okay.
now, and we will pull the paperwork together and file that site plan.
Might explain to the board what the first test is that you're talking about.
Correct. Under the provision of the article I mentioned, it states that construction of a paved area not exceeding 5,000 square feet. It says for construction or addition to any structure or pavement not exceeding 5,000 square feet of impervious area, the stormwater management plan requirement may be satisfied by submission of a drawing and data sufficient to determine that the development will not have adverse impacts due to alteration of stormwater patterns caused by the development. It was already paved. I can assure you that I don't anticipate we have an adverse condition. We need to demonstrate it.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
Is that the only requirement there, specifications on the asphalt, he submitted that to the board? Even though that it was paved, it was, the subsurface, you required to take borings, the thing that you're adding.
The staff is not requesting, or has not requested or requiring us to provide any core samples of the paved surface. They just want us to demonstrate that
the drainage aspect of it, whether it needs a retention area or you've reversed the flow into the right of way is basically what they're asking you.
Correct. The property is lower than the elevation of International Speedway Boulevard. It's virtually impossible for the stormwater to go uphill. It couldn't happen.
Move the question.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until July 5th, 2017 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Such a motion?
So moved.
Sorry. Mr. Weatherholt made the motion. Mr. Harrington the second. Mr. Jones the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Madam Chair, we'll be here again to provide an update as we have not finalized the
That's fine, content. Yeah. Okay. All right, case number 11, CEB 0417-21MHP, Daytona Air. Respondents present. Please come forward and be sworn in.
Good
State your name and address.
I'm Jerry McCann, but 10-7-9 June Terrace.
So you are the property manager?
Yes, ma'am.
And you have permission from Mr. Is it McCann?
McCann. I'm Jerry McCann.
Oh, you're Jerry McCann.
Yes.
Okay. So you have permission from the owner to represent
you? Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Jackson and Mr. Stinson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you say imposition of a fine. The report from Mr. Stinson is that the owners, the tenant vacated, the owner's deceased, and the current respondent is ready for writ of possession complete. The remedy for the violation. I'll have to tell Mr. Stinson to explain that a bit more than some relatively new information for me, but I'll tell Mr. Stinson
okay.
He can explain it.
Okay.
But our recommendation is 4 minutes into the next cutoff.
Okay. Mr. Stinson.
Good morning. I'm Stinson, Code Inspector, City, Qualifications are on file. This case began as a tenant complaint, neighborhood complaint, it's in a trailer park community. The tenants that created the violations have since been long gone. The actual owner of the trailer itself is deceased. The owner of the actual property is being represented by here, by a gentleman here. He's already cleaned up everything on the outside. Anything that's left to be done has to be done from the inside, and he doesn't have access yet until he has written possession.
Got it. Okay. Any questions? Would you like to say anything?
It's going to carry on and on until
it's done.
Yes.
Yeah. You need the writ of possession.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I could just go fix it up the way to make
right.
it compliant, I'd do
okay.
it today,
Okay. All right. Thank you. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of compliance and allow respondent until July 6, 2017 to commit to compliance and return to a subsequent meeting for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day. Such a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Harrington made the motion. Mr. Jones is second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. See you next month. All right. Case 12 and case 13 are in compliance. Case 14. CEB 0517-48 Daytona Ocean Rentals. Respondent present.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the board. This is before you for imposition of a fine. The request of the city is that we continue this to the July meeting, and here's why.
Okay.
I personally have been in communication with the mortgage company, and we've been working out an agreement that would basically result in, I don't really want to go into detail, but it's going before a commission for their consideration, which would be basically a result of deed in lieu and return of the property to the mortgage company who would remedy and take care of the conditions. If we don't do that, the alternative is that they complete a foreclosure process, but ultimately with foreclosure out of relief. So we've been working with them. We anticipate that we'll have an answer to that. That's a desire of the mortgage company as well as the respondent in terms of the deed in lieu. And so if that's able to occur, then we can be on a fast pace to getting this property in the kind of condition that would please the neighborhood and the whole community. So that's in part progress. It was ultimately would be requesting a release of any action we take today, so it would aid us just to delay any current action and determine whether or not we're going to do what we're trying to do in terms of the this agreement. So the request of the city is that we continue to the next cutoff and on the issue of imposition of a fine. We believe we're in a position where a fine can be imposed, but we'd ask that we wait till next month for that consideration.
And what would change And what would the city's mind about imposing a fine or not imposing a fine this time rather than next time?
Well, the issue of whether or not the property actually changed hands and is returned to the...
to the mortgage company.
To the mortgage company, which is a group of... it's a company that...
Private
mortgage, right. So represents a group of investors who have a great interest in accomplishing, making property available for benefit. So someone with money and interest would be something that would probably benefit the efforts towards rapid compliance.
So what you're saying basically is cloud the issue.
Yeah, it would cloud the issue if we move forward right now and just add additional funds. I mean, ultimately, one way or another, whether it's because we agree or they complete a foreclosure, our funds would be extinguished.
Okay, are there other city departments that are involved in this property?
What's going on right now? Yes, it's already drafted for the June 21st commission agenda. It's anticipated that it will be going before the commission for consideration in June. So it's something that's been discussed.
For consideration of foreclosure?
No, for consideration of this agreement that would move it forward.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Are there fines on this property now?
No, there isn't compliance. This property is still...
there will be no exchange of funds to go to the city.
Well, there will be. Part of the agreement includes a small, basically what would be the effect of what we would normally do, a reduction. But the full fine would not be, it wouldn't be paid in full as part of what they're asking in terms of settling this. In lieu of them continuing the long-term, the lengthier foreclosure process. Of course, as we know, the owners have limited ability to do anything. I mean, the mortgage company has limited ability to do anything until they complete a foreclosure. But if they were able to transfer and acquire the property quicker, they can get on board with getting this property remedied. So that would be effort for to get the property remedied.
Comments from the board?
I want to remind the board that we already have a lien on the property that's maxed $25,000.
Right.
We have an additional lien on the property on the parcel that's maxed to $15,000. So we already have $40,000 of liens that are already
going to accept as a
settlement. Well, that's something that I don't know if it's going to be addressed or as they get closer to agenda conferences and those types of things. I don't want to start laying all that out, but those are the issues of remedying and resolving some aspect of this lien against the whole process of
it's going to go before the commission for vote next commission meeting. And
what exactly are they going to vote on at the commission meeting?
What we're putting on the agenda is for them to consider a reduction of the lien, and in exchange for that, that would assist them aid in moving forward to a deed in lieu, and in so doing, then they would give us a letter of assurance that they would immediately within the first 30 days work on external portions of remedying the violations, and then the internal portions once they're able to get occupancy, because if indeed the property is too occupied, they'd have to get evictions and so forth. But that they would rapidly resolve the issues that are plaguing us with the property, external and internal. This is that property, the problem property on...
Yeah.
That's correct. Yes, sir. I mean, our alternative is what we have done, which is just continue piling liens on it.
Right.
But understanding also that the outcome of piling liens on it, if indeed the foreclosure goes through, is that they will have no work. They will be extinguished. So if they ultimately follow the process of foreclosure as the alternative, then we're no better off.
So the property, when it's done, it winds up in this Daytona Ocean Rentals?
Yes. which is one of the names.
The gentleman that appeared here, one of those owners?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
No.
Nothing to do.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said, I'm sorry, let me clarify that. You said we go to the Hampton, Daytona Ocean Rental. No.
Yes.
They're the owners. So we'll go to the mortgage company that's holding the mortgage.
Do you have a name for the mortgage company? Is there a name? It's just an LLC?
I didn't bring it, but yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. I mean, we've been, as I said, we've been in communication.
Okay.
We've been in communication for prior to since the last meeting.
There was some discussion in the commission meeting, which I was in the audience, and where the commission is actively taking a step on. Either foreclosures or reducing these properties just like this.
Right.
And so I would propose letting it go until the next meeting and see what the commission decides to do.
Here's what make you feel a little better. Better idea is that we continue it.
Yes.
Not amended, but a continued. By continuing it, then we'll be able to sign back to this date next month, if indeed nothing happens.
All right. So the chair will entertain a motion to continue this case until the July 13th, 2017 meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Weatherholt, second by Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I sign opposed. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Jones did not vote.
All right, Mr. Jones did not vote. He's not in the room.
But you have a quorum.
We do have a quorum. All right, case number 16, CEB04-17-25. Robert and Gloria Yulong, 892 Derbyshire. Mr. Sanders and Mr. Jackson. And the respondent's not present, correct? Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. Inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that he's had no contact since the last meeting, no contact with the respondent since the last meeting. He indicates that we had the issue of the dirty pool. That's really the issue that still remains. There was a fence that was repaired, the dilapidated fence. Since the repair of the fence, he really doesn't know the status, but he knows that no one's told him that it's been corrected, and he has no way to know otherwise.
Okay.
So at this time, we're asking for a fine of $250 a day to impose a maximum of $15,000.
Okay.
And I'll send him Mr. Sanders if you need him. I think that's the whole
thing. Any questions for Mr. Sanders? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today, June 8th, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So
moved. Motion, Mr. Prime, second, Mr. Harrington, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. And then Mr. Jones not available for a vote. He's out of the room. We still have a quorum. Case number 17. CEB0517-51, Jackson Family Trust at 1618 3rd Street. Respondents present?
Ms. Jackson. Is this your family?
Not my family. Just for the record. Don't know. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you come to the position of a fine. The inspector is Jerry Sanders, and Mr. Sanders reports that he's had no contact with this respondent since the last meeting, and to his knowledge, nothing's been done. He doesn't know of anything having occurred in terms of moving forward towards the remedy. He would ask for an imposition of a fine of $200 per day to a maximum of $15,000 plus the $250 administrative fee for no business tax receipt. And I send to Mr. Sanders if they have any questions. I believe that's the whole story.
Okay.
Jerry Sanders, City of Daytona Beach, Neighborhood Services. My credentials are on file. No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. There is someone there. It is occupied.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how many people are there, but couldn't say that.
Any other questions for Mr. Sanders?
Alright. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $200 per day against the respondent, effective... I think you said 200, didn't you? I don't care. I mean, that's up to that.
Yeah, I meant 250 if I said 200.
You did say 250?
Yeah, 250.
That was the recommendation, was 200, correct?
Well, I'll change the recommendation to 250. I'm sorry. That's what I intended. I'll apologize.
All right. Since I didn't get to complete that, we'll just restate it. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent, effective today, June 8, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $15,000, and further orders a one-time fine of $250 for lack of BTR. Is there such a motion? Mrs. Hines, motion. Mr. Jones, second. All in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Madam Chair, I was asked if we were willing to consider bringing forward the remaining.
Okay, that would be a very reason for not moving along as quickly as we hope. Alright, let's see what cases we have with people that are waiting here, so you don't have to wait anymore.
Can we perhaps maybe move forward with Mr. Sanders' case, and I could have one of the inspectors go out and survey and give the name to whoever remaining?
Yeah.
Okay.
But there are people here in here, too. If you'll let your inspector know that you're here, if you want to testify and you want to have your case heard sooner rather than later, okay. Alright, so right now we're going to go to... case number 18, CEB 0517-52, George and Vincent Small at 927 Berkshire. A respondent is present.
How are you all doing?
Good. Good morning. Please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Okay, George Small. I'm here for 927 Berkshire.
Okay. We'll hear from code enforcement first, and then we'll give you a chance to speak.
Please, thank you.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is true, the whole truth, and nothing but the
truth? Okay. Thank Have you. A seat, sir.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you can position the fine. The inspector reports that he's had no contact with Mr. Small, and to his knowledge, nothing has been done. The consideration of a fine is based on, and we don't normally have to go on this, but it's based on typically the, as far as cost, on whether they have a history of non-compliance with efforts are being made to comply and the egregiousness of the violation. With Mr. Small, we had a lengthy case with him over in the magistrate within a few months prior. And so I'm concerned that now we're here at imposition of a fine and we have no knowledge of anything being done, and conditions and having no contact at all. So the city is requesting a fine be imposed of $250 a day to a maximum of $15,000 and plus a $250 fine of the administrative fee for the business tax receipt. And I tend to Mr. Sanders if you have any other questions.
Any questions for Mr. Sanders right now? Okay, no contact, no nothing, nothing done. Mr. Small, please come forward.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and board. I recently just got Mr. Sanders' number, and I have done a lot of outside work to the property. It's my mom's house, and I take care of her, and she's falling on hardship. And I'm asking the board to be leaning in toward the case, Madam Chair.
So is this your house, sir?
My mom, my brother, and I took over the house because it was starting to decay and have problems.
And last time you were here, you said you were going to fix it.
Not this particular.
Oh, not this house?
No.
Yes, I believe he was here when for the finding of compliance and non-compliance. I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah, you were here.
Okay.
And my recollection is that you said in good faith that you were going to get busy on this house. Why haven't you been in contact with Mr. Sanders?
The number he went down, I called him and I couldn't read the number, and it was going to some other number, and I just got his call today. He gave me a number he wrote down and stuff, but I couldn't
Who did you think the number was for? All you had to do is call the city.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, are there any other...
I guess the question is, anything been done?
Right.
The outside.
Well, what did you do on the outside, sir?
I cleaned the whole outside. It's done. Just basically got to get the inside situated.
There's a lot inside, too.
I cleaned the mini seed, Madam Chairman and Board.
Mr. Sanders, when was the last time you went by this property?
I haven't been by there today. I rode by there last week. It didn't look like much was done.
Right.
And no contact, so I didn't take stock in it, and I just made notes and went on with it.
Okay.
The city's recommendation is a fine.
Is someone living in there?
No, there's nobody there now. No, Chairman and Board.
So do we still want... There's no one living there?
No.
Are we still asking for the one-time $250 fine?
Well, we don't know what his intent is as far as renting or not renting, what they intend on doing. It was a rental. We see it as a rental. It's not just primary rental.
Right.
This is a second, like I said, this is a different second residence that Mr. Sanders has handled with Mr. Small. He seems sincere when he comes in, but we just don't see much happening once he leaves and when he comes back.
Any other questions? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent, effective today, June 8, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $15,000, and further imposes a one-time fine, administrative fee of $250 for lack of BTR. Is there such a motion?
Move.
Motion, Mrs. Hines. Second, Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you, Board.
All right, let's move on to case number 19-CEB-0517-53. Other properties at 337 North Clyde Morris Boulevard. Respondent present? No. Do we have anybody else that needs to come forward? Okay. All right. I've called it, but we're on 19, but we can do the others first. We can go back to this one, right? If we have others to come forward, we're just trying to get these people out of here, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so what is it? Okay.
35, 36,
37, 40. Wait a minute. 35, 36,
37.
37 and 40.
40 and 41.
And 41. All right.
But also,
after that, the 34 and 35 is the only two left, and then the rest of the case is all Jerry Sanders.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing. Right. This is what I wanted to avoid. All right. So we'll start with case number 35. That's page 9. CEB 0617-72, Roy D. Helton.
Yeah, 1348 Woodbine.
It's a new case.
Case 33.
I just called case 35, correct?
I'm sorry, 33,
not 35. Inspector, apologize, you wrote down the wrong. Identified wrong.
I'm going to make an executive decision here. I'm going back to where we are. And we're going to go through these cases in order because this is causing too much confusion for all of us, and especially me, going flipping back and forth and back and forth. So you have to bear with us so we get through this large agenda. So is that satisfactory with everybody? Okay.
You're the chair.
We're going back to case number 19, right? Okay. CEB 0517-53, Other Properties, at 337 North Clyde Morris Boulevard. Okay. Nobody's here. So, Mr. Sanders and Mr. Jackson.
No, Chip, this is before it's under positional sign. Mr. Sanders, this inspector reports that the violation continues, and he's asking for an imposition of a fine of $250 per day to a maximum of $20,000.
No contact? He was here last time, but...
Yeah, well, pinned to Mr. Sanders.
Okay.
Jerry Sanders, City of Daytona Beach, Neighborhood Services, credentials are on file. Yes, he was here at the last hearing, and I advised him after the ruling last time to go downstairs, get his contractor, get his permit. Since then, he started parking his truck right there with an advertisement on it in the unimproved area.
Okay.
I haven't heard from him, so we need to go for it.
Okay. No? All right, Chair, I'll entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today, June 8th, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right. Okay. Mr. Jones, motion. Second. Mr. Harrington, all in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. All right, we've done case 20, 21, and 22, and 23. We're on to case 24, CEB 05-17-60, Miguel and Christina Jamo at 113 Mason Park Drive. No respondents, all right?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector, Jerry Sanders, reports he's had no contact with the respondent since the last meeting. The property remains non-compliant. He's asking for an imposition of a fine of $250 per day to a maximum of $15,000.
All right. Mr. Sanders, you want to add anything?
No, ma'am. No contact.
Okay, so $250 a day up to $15,000, right?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions? Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today, June 8, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion? We have a motion for Mrs. Hines. Is there a second?
Yes, second.
Second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 25, CEB 05-17-61, Leonard R. Richard at 147 Michigan. Respondent is not present. Mr. Jackson.
This is before the imposition of a fine. The inspector, Jerry Sanders, indicates that he's had no contact with the respondent since the last meeting. Violations remain. He's asking for a $250 a day fine for a maximum of $15,000.
Any questions? Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent, effective today, June 8, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right, all in favor, it's the motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mrs. Hines. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carried. Case number 26. CEB 05-17-63, Land Trust at 905 Redwood. No respondent. Mr. Jackson.
This is before the composition of a fine, Inspector Sherry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that the violation still exists. He requests a fine of $250 a day to a maximum of $15,000. I also request that you order that the property be secured within the next 10 days or authorize the city to secure it.
The building is unoccupied?
That doesn't sound like it's unoccupied.
Any questions? Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today, June 8, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $15,000 and further authorizes the city to secure the building.
To move.
Motion, Mr. Weatherholt, second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 27, which is CED 05-17-64, Land Trust at 920 Rosewood. Mr. Jackson.
This is before the imposition of a fine. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. He reports that the violations still exist. Request that a fine of $250 a day be imposed to a maximum of $15,000. And as in the prior case, he's had no contact with the respondent since the last meeting, and this is property that also needs to be secured.
Okay. Any questions? Chair will entertain a motion to amend. Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today, June 8, 2017, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000 and further authorizes the city to secure the property. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Jones. Second, Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 28. CED 05-17-65, the Coroneus Group, 119 Thomason Avenue. Okay. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. Inspector Sherry Sanders and Mr. Sanders reports that there have been permits issued. It's still pending inspection for the business tax receipt, and so the city is requesting that we amend to the next cutoff so that we can get the inspection done.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Sanders or Mr. Jackson? The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until July 5th, 2017 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there a motion?
Second.
All right. Motion, Mr. Jones. Second, Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. We're moving on to page number 9. CED 06-17-70, Darrell Wright at 1144 Australia Avenue. Is he here? Okay. Mr. Wright, come forward.
Good
Yes.
Good morning.
Daryl Rice, 1144 SCI.
Okay.
Please
raise your
hand. Please raise your hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is true, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right, if you have a seat, we'll listen to Mr. Garcia and Mr. Jackson, and I'll give you a chance to respond.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. I'm trying to read it wrong. It's there for non-compliance. Compliance or non-compliance, I apologize.
Let me
settle down again. This is number 33.
Correct.
As before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance, mm-hmm. The inspector is Danny Garcia. Mr. Garcia reports that, as you can see, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done in terms of outside storage, junk vehicles, and various violations. He says those violations still exist, and he's requesting that you find the respondent in non-compliance to get until next cutoff to come into compliance. And I tend to Mr. Garcia if you have any factual questions.
Anything from Mr. Garcia? Would you like to say anything, Mr. Garcia?
No, that this is just a neighborhood complaint. It went to supervisors, city manager, and it's something that needs to be, you know, taken care of, so that's why I decided it.
All right. Mr. Rice, what would you like to tell us?
Yeah, there's a lot of planters that were faded and cracked, and I'm saving the better ones and getting the house ready to list with RE/MAX again. It's for sale because I'm retiring completely in retired military and with health reasons, but I do have a buyer. His name's Shane. It has the Hunan Buffet. We've been meeting and we're pretty close to dealing, but if we don't go through on that, all that stuff is gone now. That is fascia that blew off, and those are secured, like two-thirds of them, but I'm going over to, and the antique street lamps, I've got parts for them. They ought to be up in a couple of days. The missing lattice on top of the fence there is on the ground, and we've replaced some rotten two-fours that hold that lattice. So kind of over and above any of the listing things that I'm working on, but it's not in compliance. It's not in compliance as of today.
Okay.
But I keep in touch with him.
Good. So you.
And.
So we hope you get everything in compliance by the next time.
By a week, probably. Or I've got to leave.
And then
down.
When you do, you call Mr. Garcia and he'll come back and re-inspect it for you.
I got a VA appointment in Dayton.
Okay.
About the heart, and it's. I'm going to leave town in a couple of weeks, so it won't be next meeting. I'll just. Get something from him.
You just talk to Mr. Garcia.
Before I leave town.
Yeah, good. Okay. Any questions? The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by July 5th, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mrs. Hines, second Mr. Jones, all in favor say aye. Like, fine, opposed. What?
A maximum to the motion.
A fine of up to $1,000 per day was in there?
With a maximum of?
No. Not for, we don't need that for the.
Not for the finding of compliance.
Not, this is just compliance and non-compliance. Okay. All right. Thank you. So.
Thank you.
Until next month. Case number 34, CEB 06-17-71, Sharon Schwan or Jessica Ciccarelli at 357 South Seneca. Respondent present? No. Okay.
This is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector, Sandy Garcia, reports that the property remains in non-compliance, and he's asking that you give him some next cut off for the property to come into compliance.
Okay. No, no contact, Mr. Garcia? Any contact with him?
No, the owner is in a nursing home, and there's someone that's taking care of the property.
Okay.
But they're not really, and this has been police issues just about almost every day. There's squatters in there. They keep on going in there, try to get them out. Building's just been posted recently by Michael Fitzgerald for no trespassing or for actually to be demolished if they can do so. It's pretty much abandoned.
Okay.
That vehicle has been removed finally, just recently.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else is pretty much the same. This is also one of the properties that have been brought to here before, previously, for the roof. And we got a lien on it to run fine on that.
Okay.
If you recall.
Any other questions? The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date of July 5th, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion is time. Second is Dillon's. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, case number 35, CEB 06-17-72, Roy Helton. Respondent's not present, all right.
I'm now chair members of the board. This is before you for a imposition of a fine due to a repeat violation. The inspector is Danny Garcia. The violation is outside storage. There was a prior order of non-compliance on 3/16/16, so a little more than a year ago.
Yeah.
And we're back here again.
Okay.
The inspector is requesting a fine of $250 a day be imposed to $10,000. This is a residence. I mean, a owner-occupied residence.
So what you're asking for is a motion to impose a fine of
$250
per
day to a maximum of $10,000.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day to a maximum of $10,000. And we're not doing case be dismissed in this.
No.
Okay.
No.
Correct. Okay.
Until
this
will be until compliance is achieved.
Okay. Until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
I'll move. Second.
All right. Mrs. Hines made the motion. Mr. Jones is second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. We'll move on to case number 36. CEB 0617-73, Michael Noviello at 1147 Lakewood Park Drive. Good morning. Please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
1147 Lakewood Drive, Michael Noviello.
Okay. And Michael? Are you going to testify,
yeah,
sir?
Yeah,
okay.
Michael Noviello, 1128 Rebuttal Lane, Port Orange, Florida.
Okay.
Father.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to provide is the truth, whole truth, and nothing but
truth. Okay. We'll hear from our code enforcement department first, and then I'll give you an opportunity to speak.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector, Jerry Sanders, Mr. Sanders reports that the violations of exterior sanitation, road and harbors, and junk vehicles remains. This is complaint-driven. He's asking that you make a finding of non-compliance and that you give the respondent until next cutoff to come into compliance. And I tend to Mr. Sanders for any factual testimony.
Questions for Mr. Sanders? This is a non-owner occupied house, we're assuming?
I'm believing he's the owner occupier. He keeps using this as his overflow for storage in his business, and all these cars you see, they don't have tags.
Uh-huh.
They're not registered, so.
Okay.
I was out there this morning, cars still in the driveway, that's that picture there.
All right, would you gentlemen like to say something? Do you live there? Can I ask you that? Do you live at this property?
Yeah, we'll live.
Who lives there? You live there, sir? Okay.
Is it being run as business?
We speak into the mic, please.
I tried to contact Ms. Sanders since last week to talk to him. I never talked to him in person.
Mm-hmm.
My son is a little bit slow, that's why I'm talking for him. And I left a few messages, but I never get it back to him. We are in compliance, but if he can comply and show us what we have to do, we'll do it. We did most of what it was from the river came, we had the fans down and stuff was done, and we did most of the fixing. We just needed Mr. Sanders to come by and I'll talk to him about what else we have to do. And just for clarification and response to the question from Mr. Weatherholtz, the next case actually is a business that they own, which is a car business, used car.
Okay.
So that's why the inspector said he probably was an overflow of their inventory there on their private property, on their residential property.
I think one lives here. If he lives in Fort
Myers. I live in Fort Myers.
And who's Michael? You're Michael, and you live in the house?
Okay.
Yes, your house. So it's your house. Okay. You're the owner. All right. Any other questions?
What is the road and harbor issue? What is that? Is it overrun by roads?
Yes, it's like you have piles of trash, debris, and that's where they go in and out.
And that's where they are.
And that's where the neighbors seen me, saw it come out.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, July 5th, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Jones. Second, Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, and post. All right, so you have till next month to fix this up and stay in touch with Mr. Sanders, please. Okay, and he can tell you what you need to do. All right, case 37. CEB 0617-74. Matthew Kirby. Justin Matthew Kirby. Is the respondent present? Are you Mr. Kirby? Okay, come forward. Please state your name and address for the record. Before
Justin Kirby, 6026 Wesley Park Drive, Port Orange, Florida.
Raise your right. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to provide is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
OK. Okay. All right. Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chair, members of the board, first thing I want to do is correct what I said at the last, during the last hearing, which was that the owners of that property also were, in this case, that was an error, but
okay.
They do own a used car lot. The inspector said, thought that was the same, but it was not.
Okay.
But the information that they own a car lot and that overflow is correct.
Right. Okay.
Now, as to this case, number 37, 648 Mason Avenue, the inspectors, Jerry Sanders, this is before you for finding of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector reports that the property remains in non-compliance. He's asking for you to make that finding and to give the respondent until next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay.
What he's doing is parking outside beyond his lot into the next lot, and that's the easy remedy.
Who owns the next lot, do we know?
It was the bowling alley, and it's up for sale. So, I'll probably imagine.
Okay, so it's a vacant building,
yes.
But still owned by it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. Still private property. All right. Mr. Kirby, what would you like to tell us?
The owner gave me permission to park my cars on there, but I'll move them all, you know, so we get taken care of. But I
didn't know. What kind of business? Do you have any joint business?
No, I just have my own business, and he has his.
Do you have anything from the owner saying he gave you the authority?
I gave you a letter from him. I didn't know if there was anything to call it.
It'll still be a violation, wouldn't it?
There's other things as well you can be excited for. You need to get with the inspector. From a zoning perspective, you have off-site parking, you have other things that would easily meet the definition of what's at least happening right now. So I need to get with the inspector and determine what he can do and what he can't do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really what he's saying. He thought he had enough by getting a permission, but that's not going to be adequate. And to the extent it could be, he'll have to get with zoning and figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
And then they can get that all.
Okay.
You're going to continue it for a month.
Okay.
And that's going to get you into compliance. You need to sit down with Mr. Sanders.
And he can tell you what you need to do to come into compliance by next month. Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by July 5th, 2017, the next cutoff date, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 a day.
So moved.
Mr. Jones made a motion. Second, Mr. Weather. All in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. All right. All right, case number 38, CEB06-17-75, April Wilson. I guess we don't have anybody left. Everybody's gone home. Just us.
Ms. Hines left the room.
And Ms. Hines left the room for this case. So, what can you tell us?
This is before you put a determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders indicates over the last 60 days he hasn't had any contact with the respondent. He asked for you to make, prior to that time they were working with him, so he's asking for you now to make a finding of non-compliance and to give till next cutoff for the respondent to come into compliance.
Okay. Can I see more of those pictures? I just want to fix it in my head what's wrong here.
They've never did anything to this property.
Okay.
You see the receptacles are hanging out of the wall. It did receive storm damage. The roof is damaged and it's leaked into the house, causing mold issues. And I know that's a separate issue, but that's right there. There's bowing and cracking and the bathroom issues, and this property does not have a BTR or a rental license.
Is it occupied?
It's occupied at this point. People are living here. and you can see water damage. I mean, it's not showing well, but if you're in the property, you can see all the water damage. Well.
And health and safety issue?
Yes, at this point, in my opinion. But the outside is needing some fixing, and the owner has not, you know, not made any contact at this point.
Okay. Any, what possible actions, I mean, if this is a health and hazardous place to be for these tenants, is there something that we can ask the city to do? I don't know. What? I think so too. We do. We need to move on this property and let it sit. Can we amend this? Or can we make a compliance date that is 2 weeks from now? Okay. I mean, this is severe to me. That's why I wanted to relook at those pictures.
Severe in the sense of the safety? Because structurally, I mean, I don't know, with the inspector's report, it's not structurally dangerous from what he can tell to the point where it's falling down or anything, or it was imminent. Is it dangerous? It may be, but is it imminent where we
need emergency? But they're living with mold and electrical problems.
Well, I don't know what's the extent of the electrical problems.
Are
rats and insects a threat to public health?
Well, they're, of course, I mean, yes, they are, obviously. Rats and insects but people reside in the houses, not that they should, but then we wouldn't approve that as far as from an inspection perspective. But is it an imminent governmental intervention? I don't know.
That's what I'm asking. Your opinion.
It's a violation of the code, and it needs to be remedied. It needs to be remedied.
It's a pretty big violation.
I agree, 100%. You know, again,
it's not a condemnation or.
Well, you don't think it's at that level?
Not under the current standards.
Not under the current standards.
Maybe we need to change the standards.
Yeah.
Well, that's what before. Commission's discussing that. That's been before the planning board.
We can shorten the time for.
That's the least that I would do, is shorten the time for that.
We've got a time for the notice to go out and begin.
15 days?
Yeah, and just so I'm clear, you know, the most I know about the property, which is the most you know about the property right now, is the photos that we see along with the inspector's report. So if there's other things that we need to evaluate as a city to make sure that they're safe, I'm sure that the city will sit down and do those evaluations to make sure if there's other actions that's beyond the code enforcement code board that we look at those actions and use what we want to talk
right. Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance in order to order the respondent to come into compliance by let's see, what date do we want?
23rd is 15 short.
Let's shorten it to 26:30.
Sure. Yeah.
To June 30th. That's more than 20 days. We could do June 25th.
And if it's not in compliance on June 30th, then what?
That's true. Be returned to the board.
Return
but you can you way. Can start the fine then back to that date. Right. So we'll try June 25th. All right. I'll restate the motion. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by June 25th, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Again, I ask you,
Who's going to make that ruling if we don't meet? Is this an automatic fine? That
no, when we meet again, the fine will go back to June 25th instead of the date of the meeting. Correct?
Okay.
If that's what you guys want to do.
If that's what we want to do.
But that's not really getting it done as fast as we want.
Well, as soon as it applies to encourage people to do something, you're early, instead of giving them all these, people tend to procrastinate and do it at the end.
Yeah.
Move it up that day, so, you know.
Maybe.
They won't.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Jones made the motion. Mr. Weatherholt the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Likewise opposed. Mm-hmm. Motion carries. All right. Case number 39, CEB06-17-76, Gillis and Yoko Creech. Mm-hmm. Nobody's here. Mr. Jackson.
Property is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that he's had no contact with the respondent and that the property is vacant. He's asking that he make a finding of non-compliance and give some next cutoff for the property to come into compliance. He also requests that you authorize for the property to be secured.
Okay. Someone living there?
No, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Chair, any other questions? The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to commit to compliance by the next cutoff date, July 5th, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine less than $1,000 per day, and further order the authorization from the city to give the authorization to the city to secure the property.
Second.
All right. Mr. Weather holds the motion. Mr. Jones is second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Case number 40, CEB06-17-77, John Taylor, 225 Strawberry Lane.
This is before you put the determination of compliance or non-compliance.
Oh, we do have a
compliance.
Oh. Sorry. You'll get your chance to speak. Thank you for
John waiting. Taylor, 225 Strawberry Lane, Pigeon Beach.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Okay, we'll hear from the code department first. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that he's had no contact with the respondent, that it is an occupied residence, that the property remains in non-compliance, and he's asking for the next cutoff for you to give me for the next cutoff to come into compliance. I tell you, Mr. Sanders.
Okay, Mr. Sanders. Any questions for Mr. Sanders? All right, Mr. Taylor, we're good from you.
Yes. I've had three things happen. Number one, I'm a roofer. I've been roofing in this area for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The hurricane, number one, hit in October, and I've been busy since. Sun up, sun down, working on other people's houses. Doing the same thing you guys are talking about today, fixing mm-hmm. those everybody's properties and fixing their roofs and everything. I've just been so busy that I haven't been able to clean my house out from the storm damage. And then I never received your first notice in February, mm-hmm. but I also had a nasty death in my family at that time. So I was going through the death of a family member in the 2nd of February. And then right after the death in March, My truck broke down that I haul trailers with, and all that stuff that you see in the picture on my property was stuff that was coming off of a vehicle that was broke down on the side of the road. I had to get all that stuff to my house. It was for jobs. I had jobs in this neighborhood around me that we were doing, and our offices in Port Orange, with my truck being broke down, my house was the closest logical place to take everything for the time being. That has since been cleared out of there. My truck finally got fixed about 2 weeks ago. That cost me $6,500. So I'm dying here. But I have been working on the house and getting it cleaned up. I just haven't got it all finished up because I've been so busy working, taking everybody else's property.
When do you think you'd be able to finish yours?
Hopefully I can get mine done within the next couple, couple weeks. What I was doing on my roof, they're saying that my roof needs to be fixed. What it is, I put soffit face metal on my house all the way around and have a TPO rubber. The soffit face has to go first before my TPO rubber can go down and be secured to the face. That's what I was in the middle of doing before the hurricane hit. And when the hurricane hit, a tree hit part of the garage. That has been fixed, that part of the garage. And all I have to do is just get my soffit face put back up. I just haven't had the time to do all that. It's just, we've been making a mad dash to get all these houses fixed before the rainy season has hit. Now the rainy season has just now hit this past week. So hopefully, like I said, within the next month or two, I can get my house squared away.
Good.
And if we can we confirm Mr. Taylor's address?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say 225 Strawberry?
It's a deal like to have two addresses, 223, 225.
Okay, because I do have a signed green card for the that meeting date.
It's not my signature.
No, I'm not saying it is. Someone signed for it.
I never got it. But like I said, I was going through the death in my family. It might have gotten done.
Okay.
Yeah, understand.
Your address is 225 Strawberry Lane.
The whole house is
in
my address.
Yeah, I get it, but you...
223 is what is on the parcel. 225 is like the extension.
What's your mailing address, sir?
It's 223 and 225 Strawberry Lane.
Okay.
So what do we put on our envelope? I have a mail to 225 Strawberry Lane. So that should get to you?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure we have the information in the mail.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's on your driver's
license?
What's on your driver's license?
225.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, the inspection report said if indeed the outside violations are what was it, outside storage and the high grass and weeds. If that's taken care of, he's fine with 60 days for the completion of the roof repair. This was a result of the inspector's observations when he was handling another violation, and there's not no complaints or anything else, but it is something that needs to be remedied.
Do we want to do the whole thing just for, 2 months instead of 1 month?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we're fine with that.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the cutoff date of 8/2/17 or be returned to the board for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is such a motion? Mr. Jones made the motion. Mr. Harrington made the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. So you've been given 2 months to get everything corrected and done.
August 2nd.
August 2nd.
Okay.
Basically. One more case. CEB 06-17-78, Gail Lucinda Smith at 915 Winchester. Respondent here, yes you are. Please come forward. State your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
My name is Gail Smith. My address is 1929 Eden Drive, Deltona, Florida, 32765.
Okay. All right, if you want to speak, just state your name and address for the record.
Edwin Summers, 23 Williams Drive, Holly Hill, Florida.
Okay, be sworn in.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing
but the truth? Okay. All right, we'll hear from our code department first, and then we'll give you a chance to speak.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Jerry Sanders. Mr. Sanders reports that the respondents have been doing work. They've been doing a lot of work, in his opinion. They've been working in good faith. They're not done. He's asking that we amend to the next cutoff and allow them. Well, I mean that we give them. He said 60 days. Oh, okay. for the amount of time they need. He says that they won't be able to complete it in by the that's not likely to complete by the July cutoff, and he's fine with giving them until the August
cutoff.
Yeah.
All right, what would you like to tell us?
I was looking at some of the pictures that you have. This is the pictures that when the tenants was living there, that's all their stuff that was around the house. So they've been since evicted.
Mm-hmm.
So all that stuff is gone, and for the electrical, I know he was saying something about electrical permit, so we did have one of those pulled.
Good.
So we can do the work, you know.
Good.
And then this is for the screen that was supposed to be put back in the house, so that's been done. The roof damage, it's been repaired, so.
Moving along.
Yeah.
Okay. And no one's living there now?
No one's living there. And like the rental license. I'm guessing she's going to get it on the next inspection.
Okay.
Whenever we get this done,
right.
We can get an inspection,
okay.
And then she can apply for the rental license.
Okay.
So that's where we're at.
That's fine. So we're going to give you a little extra time to keep working on this. Okay, so Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by August 2nd, 2017, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Such a motion?
Salute.
Motion, Mr. Wetterall, second. I guess Mr. Jones, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carried. So it was your inspector, to stay in touch with him, you know, so he knows, he can tell us what's been done and not done. Any miscellaneous business?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Mr. Jackson.
Yes.
Another relating to the Jackson family trust. Can we get a definition of code enforcement board? Because the newspaper, and I quote him, says that Bob Jager and his staff will take board, I don't know whether they passed those last night or not, but they would come to the code enforcement board. They don't mean the code enforcement board, do they? They mean that new board, or do they? Sorry, I asked the question.
It's a newspaper article. I have not had a chance to speak with Mr. Jager, but the question is, if he said that, I don't know if he said that, it would be the code board, and that would be based on just feeling that he's satisfying Chapter 162 covering both ends. This then both AG opinions that says the code board can or the code board shall, and then there's other AG opinions that says once the commission makes a decision related to foreclosure, then the decision is made. So I'm not sure if that's exactly what he said.
The papers is coming back here.
Right, yeah.
Approval of these foreclosures.
I think they mean that new code.
I think that's what they mean.
I really don't know the answer.
They haven't set that up.
No, they haven't
set that.
Yeah, that's right. They don't have the board set up.
Right.
That'll come here. Before you ask us to hear the show, I would like you to go through the entire new ordinance and how this is covered by the code. So just
all right.
Throwing it at us.
Both not there yet.
Well,
but we
really.
Right.
And I guess really, right, the question is, what's the authority? And I'll probably get with.
Get the 90 days to file foreclosure.
Okay, right.
The question is, does Terry Joseph say that he does? The code board does. The code board does. He does.
Right.
Well, I think what covers code board sites, that's fine.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, if I was speculating, that's the same speculation. We're just going both places to make sure we're covered, but I don't know if that's what's said. Again, it's a newspaper.
My understanding is the city commission makes a ruling. That's the ruling.
Yeah, if there's another thought, like you said, I'll share that with you. I'll share it with Mr. Cino so he can fully advise you as well.
You make a recommendation.
Right, correct. That's probably the way it's going
to
work.
I can do it. Is it going to be one? But,
because...
All right, so, you know, last time we were here, I just want to say this very quickly, last time we were here, we talked about having a little workshop, but because Amy wasn't going to be here and nobody is really leading, I mean, we do have a lead investigator for code services, I thought we should postpone it, and also because we had all this, and also because of everything that's going on, everything's in flux. So maybe we need to just postpone that idea until everything kind of comes together, and then we can do it.
Yeah, that position.
Well, we didn't set a date last time, but we were going to try and find out when a good time would be for a workshop for everybody.
Yeah, and now Michelle would say that the supervisor position is currently being advertised, so. Like you said, it might be a better thing planned after we...
That would be a bad idea to discuss people on the show.
Right.
And it works well.
Right, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right now you want to pay in the...
Right.
In the future.
Perfect.
Because I guess by the newspaper, it's going to be a lot more done.
Well, pace-wise, it may come up before... We're ready for workshop. So we may have to do it in a like you discussed before, in a new business type of discussion. But we'll make sure Mr. Harrison will get, you know, be fair with the board.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken
wings, are you know, whatever they're trying to say, but we don't know we don't know the ordinance, we don't know.
Right. Well, I don't think it's been clear. It's not clear yet.
Yeah. It seems like a case they were in paper, not our case. They were moved just magistrate cases.
They were magistrate cases.
They weren't our cases.
They weren't our cases.
Will you go back to the magistrate?
Well, all they're doing is foreclosing on liens and condemning property, which doesn't have anything to do. Well, all they're doing, I didn't mean it in that regard, but it doesn't really have to do with us. We're out of it by that time, correct?
Well, not really.
Not really. Okay. We'll figure it out.
Right.
Yeah, and in fact, we even adopted a resolution that says, you know, where we passed authority around back in 05. So there's things to discuss
right. And
trying to understand. Right. And those are some of the things that I'm sure Mr. Jager's looked at and some of the decisions he's making in terms of the direction they're going. I haven't been a full part of you know, every decision he's making, so I don't know those answers right now. But when I have more answers, I'll bring
them. Maybe I can download them and then come back to what
certainly.
Like us, see what else to do in that role.
Absolutely. I agree. And as I said, I probably would probably give Mr. Cino some advance for that, since he's the one primarily advising you in that regard. So he'll be well aware of where, you know, what our perspective is.
I think he's doing a little bit of work to say that.
Absolutely.
Always has.
Right.
Very well.
Same thing.
Right. Okay. Meeting adjourned.